वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो कैंटो 10 चैप्टर नंबर 25। सो इन द 24 चैप्टर वी हैव स्टडीड हाउ कृष्णा स्टॉप्ड द सैक्रिफाइस ऑफ इंद्र एंड विद दैट सेम पैराफर्निलिया ही एनकरेज्ड ऑल द व्रजवासी सेटेड बाय नंद महाराज टू वर्शिप द गोवर्धन हिल। सो द 25th चैप्टर describes Indra's response. So Krishna did this act to crush the pride of Indra. So how was Indra's pride crushed? That is the theme of 25th chapter. In Gopal Champu Jiva Goswami titles this chapter as Defeating Indra's Pride, Increasing Govardhan's Pride. So that was the title. So this chapter is a glorification of Govardhan Hill and frustration of Indra's pride. Text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Indrastadatmanah Pujam Vignaya Vihatam Rupa Gopebhyah Krishnanathebhyo Nandadibhyas Chukopaha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nand Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their lord.
Hmm. So Indras Tadatmana Pujam. So Tada Atmana Pujam Vignaya Vihatam. So Indra understood that his own worship is being neglected or diverted to someone else's worship. So our Vaishnava philosophy says we should be Amanina Manadena. So we should be eager to give all respect to everyone, and we should not expect any respect for one's own self. So Indra is behaving exactly the opposite way in this context. So he was expecting respect, he was expecting worship. And when that worship is diverted to someone else, he kind of shamelessly, tormenting the people who did not worship him. So expectation of worship within the mind itself is a very horrible disposition for a devotee. On top of it, just tormenting people or, chastising, ridiculing, troubling people who are not worshipping him or respecting him, that's the height of false pride and arrogance. Right? How can someone say, you should worship me? So that is too much. So that kind of mentality is seen in Indra here. So Sukadeva Goswami, right in the beginning of the chapter, he's revealing the foolishness of Indra and the absurdity of his anger. That's how the purport writes Indra's disposition here. Foolishness of Indra is revealed right here. So Gopiabhyah Krishna Natebhyo. They thought that Krishna is their Natha. Right? That's why Chukopaha, Indra became angry. And Indra is one of the people who always goes to Krishna for some help in crisis, in the midst of crisis. So now things are little diverted. And even after this whole Govardhan episode also, when Indra was embarrassed and when he came in front of Krishna along with Surabhi, he begs forgiveness from Krishna in various ways. There also Acharya is right. Indra's begging forgiveness from Krishna after being embarrassed by Krishna is to some extent or to a considerable extent it is superficial. Because after a few chapters, again Indra will ridicule Krishna. Indra will come to attack Krishna in that episode of where Krishna killed Bhaumasur and then brought Aditi's kundal, right? Then Varundev's umbrella and then gave to Indra. And Indra was very nice with Krishna. And when Krishna took Parijat, then Indra again became angry on Krishna. So receiving favors is a constant theme in Indra's life, receiving favors from Krishna, and sometimes ridiculing Krishna also will happen, okay, because of being forgetful of one's own constitutional position and being very proud of the temporary privileges that are associated with his service. So when service is given to a person, along with service there could be some privileges and facilities, right? So responsibility sometimes is associated with some facility, but proud servants will focus more on the facility and privilege than the responsibility and service. So the privileges that a person would get would overwhelm him so much that he would deny the responsibility, right? And recently I was hearing a Brahmachari class by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He was saying, when a person newly joins the ashram, right, Brahmachari ashram, he understands that he has to serve everyone. He is the servant of everyone because he is the junior most in the ashram. But after spending few years, 5 years, 10 years or whatever, after spending few years in the ashram, Maharaj says, the nature of false ego is such that whatever facilities and respect and position that we receive, we take it for granted and we, minimize the position of the new devotee, right? So Maharaj says, we should always think we are the new devotees. New devotee means, I am the servant of everyone, right? That is the disposition in which a new devotee enters, at least in the beginning, right? Because he is junior most. So advanced devotee or advancing devotee means he is always in the consciousness that I am servant of everyone. Although he may have certain junior and he may have to correct him as a part of his service, still I am his servant. That is the mood. So like that. So in the crisis, it's easy to remember the dependence, one's dependence on Krishna. But in happiness and then when the position and prestige are intact, then it's easy to get puffed up. Then Krishna has to take all endeavors to bring that devotee down to the ground level. So Krishna is the Lord, not only of the residents of Vrindavan, but of all that exists. So Indra was thinking that I am Lord, but Krishna is the Lord. Indra is thinking that Vrajavasis considering Krishna as the Lord is wrong, but that is the fact. That is true. Krishna is the Lord. Right, he is the Lord of Indra himself, that Indra forgot, right? So Indra's reaction was ridiculous. Second verse. Ganam samvartakam nama meghanam chantakarinam Indra prachoditat kruddho vakyam chahe shamanyuta.
Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Samvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows.
So what did he do in his anger? Ganam Samvartakam Nama. Samvartakam Nama Meghanam. He called Ganam. Group of what? Meghanam. Clouds. They are called Samvartaka. Why they are called Samvartaka? Because they generally act at the time of universal destruction. That is the power of that thing, of those clouds. So it's like very high grade. For example, when you have to cook for, you know, three people in Sevastan who are patients, you have to make some non-spicy rate for some sick patients. Maybe there are only three patients. You take a small vessel, right? But in Kartik Yatra, if you have to cook for 5,000 people, you have to take a big vessel, right? So Indra is using that big vessel to cook for three people, like that. Just because few people, few residents of a village, Vrindavan village, which is like just a small area, just because they did not worship him, Indra became so lost that he is using clouds of universal destruction just to destroy that inhabitants of that one village, right? Who are maybe few lakhs or whatever. So to that extent one can become angry. So meghanam cha antakarinam. Antakarinam means they can cause the anta of universe. Indraha prachodayat kruddho. Out of anger, Indra called them, summoned them. So vakyam cha Ishamanina, aha, he spoke these words, Ishamani. What was his mood while speaking that words? Ishamani, he was falsely thinking that I am Isha, I am controller, I am supreme controller. That's what he was thinking. So the word cha here indicates that along with these Samvartaka clouds, Indra also called seven winds of destruction. So along with clouds, if there are winds, so that is helping the rain. So he called the seven types of winds of destruction also. Right? So he was falsely thinking that he is supreme controller. This is the nature of false ego. So when my power is not acknowledged, I will do whatever is possible. Okay, I can go to any extent to prove that I am powerful. So that's what Indra is thinking. So the word Ishamani is very significant. Indra arrogantly considered himself to be the Lord. And thus he exhibited the typical attitude of a conditioned soul. So Ishamani is the attitude of every conditioned soul. So that degree of this mentality may vary, but everyone is having this mentality. Right? For example, Indra is very powerful. He is calling Samvartaka clouds for universal destruction. To that extent he can show off his power. But he cannot destroy someone else's, some other universe. He is within this universe. Ne? He cannot call clouds to destroy some other universe. That is beyond his power. Right? But then some people say, some CEO of a company, he can exercise his power within that company only. Okay, some householder, he can exercise his power within that house only. Right, some department head, he can exercise his power within his department head only. But whatever it may be, the detail may be different, but everyone has this constant theme. Right, everyone has this mentality that I am controller. The extent of controllership or the extent of his influence may vary according to the position of the person, but everyone thinks that I am the controller. This is the syndrome called Ishamana. Ishamana syndrome, that is a disease. Right? Proudly considering oneself the Lord. Okay, IMS. We have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. So this is IMS, Ishamana syndrome. This is the disease of conditioned soul. Third, Aho Sri Madamahatmyam Gopanam Kananaukasam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Yechakrur Deva Helenam.
Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods.
Aho Sri Mada Mahatmyam. See the Mada, intoxication of what? Sri, opulence. Of whom? Gopanam. Gopanam, these gopas, who are Kananaukasam, who are the dwellers of forest. Kanana means forest. These simple people who are dwellers of forest, Vrindavan, they have become so intoxicated with their wealth, opulence. Sri Madha Mahatmyam. This exactly applies to Indra. He is not Kananaukasam, he is like Swargaukasam. But Sri Madha Mahatmyam is actually referring to Indra, not cowherd boys. Krishnam Martyam Upashritya. So Krishna, or Indra is considering Krishna as Martyam, an ordinary human being. So for all these series of verses where Indra is criticizing Krishna or minimizing his position, Jiva Goswami gives positive commentaries. Mother Saraswati gives positive commentaries. Here Martyam, Krishna is addressed as Martya by Indra. So Martya technically means he is an ordinary human, but when it is applied to Krishna, Martya means Krishna appears to give auspiciousness to the ignorant fools of this material world. Krishna appears in this Martya world to give auspiciousness to them. Okay? So, and Deva Helanam, just by hearing the words of a Martya like Krishna, taking shelter of him, Upashritya, these people are offending the Devatas, Deva Helanam. And he is considering this as an offense not just to himself, to all Devas, right? All demigods. They have offended the king of demigods, means they have offended all the demigods, right? That's the extension. So, they ignored me. And the positive explanation for this, Deva Helanam, means they have offended the lowly Devata like me. That's what Indra, although he didn't intend it, so the meaning can be taken like that. So, Acharyas say that it's a gross miscalculation on Indra's part to consider himself Deva and then Krishna. Krishna is Deva Deva, he's not even Deva. Jiva Goswami says, explains this verse, the people of Vraja are dwellers in the forest and cowherds were most sattvic in qualities. Right? Kana Naukasam. One who dwells in forest is in mode of goodness. Right? One who dwells in city is in mode of passion. One who dwells in... who is in ignorance? According to Prabhupada? Liquor shop, brothels. So they are in ignorance. But one who is in temple, he is in Vaikuntha. Right? So here, Kanana Okasam. So one who dwells in Kanana is supposed to be in goodness. Right? So thus, the people of Raja are having sattvic qualities. And Upashritya, Krishnam Upashritya, means they have surrendered to Krishna, who was the Parabrahman in human form, Martyam. Okay? That is a positive explanation. Who was most affectionate towards his devotees. Therefore, it was proper that they ignore the Devatas. That is the positive meaning of this verse. Fourth verse. यथादृढैहि कर्ममयैहि क्रतुभिर्नामनौ निभैः विद्याम् अन्वीक्षिकीं हित्वा तितीर्षन्ति भवार्णवम्.
They are taking shelter of Krishna is just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of fruitive ritual sacrifices.
So Indra's concepts seem to be okay, but he is applying in a wrong context and in a wrong way. Mathematics formulas are there. Right, theorems you learn, formulas are there. So in the exam, you apply those formulas in some other context. Okay, some other result will come. Okay, something like this. They are taking shelter of Krishna. Their taking shelter of Krishna is like abandoning transcendental knowledge and then trying to cross material ocean by ritualistic activities. Okay. Because of his great anger, Indra is not even completing the sentence. Jiva Goswami says. So the real meaning of what Indra said here was, just as the devotees give up impersonal knowledge along with sacrifices and desire to cross the material existence simply by taking shelter of Krishna, cowherds gave up my worship and tried to cross the material existence by taking shelter of Krishna. That is the positive meaning. Vachalam balisham stabdam agnam panditamaninam कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य गोपामे च क्रूरप्रियं.
These cowherd men have acted inimically towards me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child.
So, in six ways, Indra criticizes Krishna in this verse. Vachalam. He calls Krishna as Vachalam. Vachalam means talkative child, right? Unnecessarily he starts speaking, right? But Krishna is Vachalam here because the Lord had presented many audacious arguments in the line of Karma Mimamsa, Sankhya philosophy, even though he did not accept these arguments. So Krishna is expert in presenting something which he is not convinced of, right? So you can call him Vachalam. Okay, it's a positive thing. Balisham. Balisham means childish, right? So, but Krishna, when it is applied to Krishna, it is childlike, right? Balisham means out of a cute boy is also called Bala, Balisha, right? That's a positive address. Stabdam means arrogant or disrespectful. So, the positive meaning of stabdam is he bows down to no one because there is no one equal to him or superior to him. He need not offer homage to anyone. That's why he stabbed them. And agnam means ignorant, foolish person. Right? But agnam means one who knows everything. The positive meaning of agnam is that there is nothing more for him to know because he is omniscient. He knows everything. Agnam. Then panditam aninam. So panditam aninam means he considers himself wise according to Indra. But according to Mother Saraswati, Pandita Mananam means that he is highly honored by the Panditas. Highly honored by the knowers of truth. Pandita Mananam. Then Krishnam. Krishnam is referring to Krishna. But Krishna means he is the supreme absolute truth, whose form is Satchidananda. Then Martyam. So Martyam literally means that he is an ordinary human being. But Martyam here means that although he is the absolute truth, he nevertheless appears in this world as a human being out of affection for his devotees. Because he appeared in this Martya Loka, you may call him Martyam. Okay, that is a positive meaning, right? So like this, all these six words had six counterparts, positive parts. So Vachalam, Balisham, Stabdam, Agnam, Panditamananam, Krishnam, Martyam, Upashritya, Gopame, Chakrur, Apriyam. Chakrur, Apriyam means they have acted unfavorably towards Indra. Then sixth verse. Esham Shriyavaliptanam Krishnenadhma Pitatmanam धुरुता श्रीमदस्तम्भम् पशून्यस्त पशून्नयत संक्षयम्.
To the clouds of destruction, King Indra said, "The prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride, and their arrogance is backed up by Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring the animals to destruction."
So, esham shriyavaliptanam. So, avaliptanam means one who is like too much puffed up, intoxicated by what? Shriya, opulences. So, Indra is considering the gopas, the cowherd community, as shriyavaliptanam. Krishnena adhmapa atmanam. So, they were intoxicated by pride and opulence, and Krishna is supporting it, right? Adhma pita means Krishna is supporting or fortifying their arrogance. Dhunuta srimadastambam. So, dhunuta means remove, wash away their pride. Right? Pashun nayata sankshayam. And what is the cause of the pride of cowherd community? Cows. Cows are the wealth of cowherd community. How can you reduce their pride? By tormenting the cows. Okay, so this is the evil intention of Indra. So all the demons came, Aghasur, Bakasur, Vatsasur, Dhenukasur, Putana. There are so many demons. So most of them are attacking Krishna. They wanted to cause some harm to Krishna. At the max, Aghasur is the main fellow. So he tried to cause harm to all the cowherd boys, entire Vrindavan community, but in a normal way. But Indra is wanting to completely wipe away the cowherd community only. Entire Vrindavan village, right, is like, Indra caused the maximum havoc in Vrindavan, right, compared to all the demons. So, when a devotee is not in proper consciousness, he can cause the maximum damage to the devotee community than an outside person. Right? All the demons are outside fellows. They just entered Vrindavan to kill Krishna or do some little damage. But when the inside person is having a unfavorable consciousness, he can cause greater damage. However, the good news is, even if the devotee is little, you know, deviating from the expected standards, still Krishna is so merciful that he can bring back that devotee to proper consciousness. Krishna does his full endeavor, right, to bring that devotee back to proper consciousness. That is the greatest hope for the devotee. So, Krishna killed all the demons. But when Indra attacked and he caused the maximum damage, he caused like millions of times more damage to Vrindavan community, okay, than other demons. But still, ultimately, Indra got forgiveness. Krishna forgave Indra. Krishna just gave him some warning and then you can go, continue your service. Kitna bhi karo, mera bhakti. Okay, I will forgive him. So that is Krishna's quality in his dealings with devotees, although they are mixed devotees, right? That doesn't mean the devotee should take advantage of the lenience of Krishna and then behave whimsically. Okay, that basically gives hope. Unintentionally, if some devotee, you know, does some mistake, still there is some hope for him, like that. So devotional service is very safe path, right? That doesn't mean one should intentionally create some disturbance. So it is clear from this verse that the residents of Vrindavan have become highly prosperous simply by protecting cows. So the purport is focused mainly on the prosperity of a cowherd community. So dairy products, vegetables, grains, right? So that is the wealth and the prosperity of a traditional community, right? So, sixth verse, Jiva Goswami, Chakravarti Pad gives a positive meaning. Cowherd men are anointed with sandalwood pulp. So, he said, Shriya Avaliptanam. So, Shriya Avaliptanam, one meaning is, they are intoxicated with opulence. Shriya Avaliptanam can also mean, they are anointed with sandalwood pulp. Avaliptanam, avalep, you see, lep means you are just anointed with what? Shriya and sandalwood. Remove the heat in their bodies by the cool rain. Dhunuta srimadastambam. So in Summer you have Chandan Yatra, applying Chandan to cool the body. Similarly, Dhunuta, Srimada Stambham means remove, cool their heat in their bodies by rains. Right? And then, and when Krishna lifts up Govardhan, causes him to make a beautiful place, Samyak Kshaya, means Kshaya means residence as well as destruction. Right? So Samyak Kshaya, Kshaya can mean a place of residence, or Kshaya can also mean destruction. So he said, Pasun Nayata Sankshayam, Sankshayam, you cause destruction, right? So the another meaning is, you create a dwelling place. Who will create? Krishna will create dwelling place for them under Govardhan Hill. Okay, that's a special holiday spot or retreat center for them. Right, so far they were in their homes only, but now this is like 7 days. They just took off, right, from all their responsibilities and then came for a retreat under Govardhan, and then watching Krishna live throughout the 7 days and seven nights. Like that. This is how acharyas relish every bit of Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami says, the real meaning is that they have increased their bhakti and their hearts are glowing with their bhakti. Right? Atma, adhma pitatmanam. Adhma pitatmanam means their hearts are glowing with bhakti. How shall we remove their pride? Destroy the cows completely, since the cows are the source of their pride. The real meaning is make a most comfortable abode for the cows. Like that. Seventh verse. Aham chaira, aham chaiva, aham cha airavatam nagam.
Aham cha airavatam nagam.
Aruhyanu vraje vrajam.
Aruhyanu vraje vrajam.
Marudganair
mahavegair.
Nandagoshta jighamsaya.
I will follow you to Vraja, riding on my elephant Aravat, and taking with me the swift and powerful winds, wind gods, to decimate the cowherd village of Nand Maharaj.
Aham cha Airavatam Nagam. So I will ride on this Airavata, my elephant. Nagam is elephant. Anu Vraje, I will follow you, Vrajam. So now, so far, he was addressing the personification of the Samvartaka clouds, right? The presiding personalities of the Samvartaka clouds. And now, in the seventh verse, he is revealing his seriousness in giving this instruction. These are not like somebody is angry, you just say, okay, you do go and do the, give him this punishment. It's not just like that. I will come and follow you. It's like he was very forceful. Right? He like now after hearing the seventh verse, all the Samvartaka clouds got the powerful mood of Indra. Right? Or he himself is also coming on Airavata. He is following up with us. And he himself also will do things. Right? Aruhya Anuvraje Vrajam. Marudganair Mahavegair Nanda Goshta Jighamsaya. Jighamsaya means with the intent of destroying this entire Gokul, Vraja, I will come along with you. So Jighamsaya Paya Apya Sadhvi, right? Because Jighamsa indicates an intent of destruction, an evil motive, malicious intention. So now acharyas give the positive explanation. Okay, Nanda Gopa Jighamsaya, that actually means Indra wanted to visit Gopa, Gopa's Vraja. He wanted to see Vrindavan. That's why he's coming. Just his holiday trip from heaven to Vrindavan. Eighth verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Ittam Maghavatagnapta. Meghanirmukta Bandhana. Nandagokulamasarehi. Tidayama Surojasa.
Shukdev Goswami said, on Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of the rain upon them.
So Indra ordered them, and all these clouds, which are of many colors, some are black, some are yellow, some are green, some are of the color of Indra Gopa, Garga Samhita explains, some are in the color of camphor, some in the color of blue lotus. different colorful clouds appeared on the sky of Vraja, right? These clouds were as big as elephants and mountains, and all these clouds put together, the vision is that so many thousands of elephants are coming together, right, to attack. So it was like that. So, and all the raindrops are as big as elephants. You see, you just imagine a water drop, as big as elephant. So that's how they were coming. So, and the thunderbolts are like elephant trunks, right? So they were as big as mountain peaks, and millions of rocks fell from the sky, right? So this was the extent to which Indra started creating havoc. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. 9th verse. Vidyotamana vidyudbhi stanantaha stanayintubhi tivrair marudganair nunna vavrushurjala sarkaraha.
Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones.
So all these wind gods, right, winds also came there. They threw so many trees and houses and then created havoc. And Garga Samhita explains that all the seven planetary systems were echoing with this thunder. Right, the thunder which is created in Vraja is like echoed in all the seven planetary systems. And the elephants that were holding the different directions, so they were trembling. Okay, they are universal destruction thing, what that is happening. A preview is given, promo. So Sridhar Swami explains that Marud Ganaihi indicates the seven great winds, okay, which we mentioned in the previous verses. So Indra released those clouds capable of creating an ocean in this universe at the time of destruction. He lost all discrimination. When somebody is in anger, he forgets everything. Where does Prabhupada say like this? When someone is in anger, he forgets everything. This is the exact statement that Prabhupada uses in one of the earlier cantos. Dhru Maharaj, no? Daksha. Yeah, Daksha was blaspheming Shiva, and so many such prajapatis and then big people are trying to pacify him, control him. Oh, don't go out, or don't walk out of the sacrificial arena, please come back. So he was not hearing at all. He was blaspheming Shiva and then walked out in the presence of Brahma and many others. So when somebody is in intense anger, he will lose all discrimination. He doesn't know where to employ what. So in Telugu there is a saying that if someone is so angry, he can release a Brahmastra and a small sparrow also, right? For sparrow you don't need Brahmastra, but he does like that. That is the extent of anger. Ashwatthama released Brahmastra and an embryo. Parikshit Maharaj. Okay. 10th verse. Sthuna sthula varshadhara munchatsu abreshva bhikshnasaha jalaughaihi plavyamana bhur nadrishyata natonnatam.
As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood and high grounds could no longer be distinguished from low.
So when there is so much rain, everything becomes like almost flat, right? You can't distinguish what is high and what is low. Okay, highs will become low and then low lands will become high also because of the water flow. That's what has happened here. So it's a very grave situation. Garga Samhita explains that it seems as if ocean has taken over the sky. Harivamsa says, so ocean has taken over the sky. Just imagine ocean comes on the sky. That's what it was like that. So this whole storm made the sun, moon disappear. There was absolutely no light in the sky. Right? And all these clouds were like great mountains. You see, in Vrindavan, there were so many adibhautika kleshas, adidaivika kleshas, right? But there were no adhyatmika kleshas. There were no miseries described that are caused by body and mind. Because itinandada yogopa krishna rama kathamuda kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavavedana. So because they are completely dedicated to Krishna, there were no kleshas which are coming from their body and mind. And because internally they were very happy and satisfied in Krishna's service and Krishna katha, although other kleshas are coming, they did not cause any disturbance to them. Right? Adibhavatika, adidaivaka. Although Indra may create disturbance and all the other demons may come and create some disturbance, but they don't experience it because they are absorbed in Krishna.
Atyasarati vatena Pashavo jata vepana Gopa gopyascha sitartha Govindam sharanam yayu. The cows and other animals shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter.
So one cannot stop this adibhautika and adidaivika kleshas, right? You cannot stop the natural calamities. You cannot stop, you have no control over other living entities causing any trouble to you. But with one's determination and regular practice, he can control his own self, and then he can safeguard himself from other kleshas with proper consciousness. So whenever there is a calamity, all these Vrajavasis, they are going for Govindam Sharanam Yayuhu. Right? They went to take shelter of Govinda. So the solution is already there. Problem may be of any flavor. Solution is one, Govindam Sharanam. Right? All the Vrajavasis are convinced of this. So whatever may be the problem, we have Krishna with us. Right? So Krishna will protect. So they have no plan to counteract this. They have no individual plans. So birds stopped flying, they became silent, all the other birds. But peacock started crowing very loudly. So Harivamsa says like this. So there was very fearful, fierce situation that is created in Vrindavan.
Shirah sutam chakayena prachadyasara piditaha Vepamana Bhagavata Padamulam Upayayuhu. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Not just human beings, Gopas and Gopikas. Right, 11th verse says, Gopa Gopyascha Sitartha Govindam Sharanam Yayuhu. Right? Sita Artaha. Sita Artaha means they were distressed by Sita, cold, and they went to take shelter of Govinda. It is not the disposition of human beings only. It is the same mood is existing in cows also. Right? Shiraha Sutamsha Kayena. Right? Their heads, under their heads, they were giving protection to Sutan, their children. Who are they? Cows. Right? So they were Prachada. Adhyasara Piditaha, right? Asara Piditaha, distressed by the rainfall. Then Vepamanaha, trembling. Bhagavataha Padamulam Upayayuhu. They went to the lotus feet of Bhagavan, Krishna. So Chakravarti Pad says, cows were shivering and afflicted with cold because they were outside. Right? Generally, Goshalas are outside, not within the house. Right? And cowherds were generally inside. Cowherd men, they were outside only, not so much inside, because they have to take care of the cows. But gopis, they were inside. The ladies were generally inside, men were more or less outside, but cows were outside only. So all of them, right, they took shelter of Krishna, right. Chakravarti Pada says, all of this was arranged by the will of the Lord, in order to enact the pastime of lifting Govardhan, to increase the prema of the people of Raja, and to show that The cause was Indra's pride. Otherwise, the cows and people of Vraja could never suffer. The suffering of all the Vrindavan Vasis is very elaborately described in Harivamsa. Right? So, how different people were suffering and how much attack was there on Govardhan. So, all that was there only to bring to this scene of pleasure exchanges between Krishna and all the Vrajavasis. Right? Otherwise, cowherd boys and cowherd girls or cows or not even a blade of grass in Vrindavan can ever experience any suffering. The only suffering they may have is the experience of separation from Krishna. Okay, that is ecstasy. That is not material suffering. So materially also there is no suffering. But this all this apparent suffering caused by Indra is a prelude, right, to their pleasure, which is going to happen in few moments when Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill. So some cows gave up their lives. Some cows became sick and fell down along with their calves. And some cows were bringing the calves under their bodies, right, and giving them protection. And some cows were separated from their calves. So like that, in various ways, all the cows were experiencing some suffering. And all the calves, they were very earnestly looking towards the face of Govinda and then appealing to Lord Damodar, please save us, please save us. So all the calves. So how can Krishna see this kind of situation? So this suffering, apparent suffering, is churning such great emotions in the hearts of Krishna and all the Vrajavasis and animals also. Right? So ultimately this is a very sweet exchange between the Lord and his devotees. So Krishna can convert any calamitic situation into a very sweet, pleasurable exchange. Everything depends on the consciousness of the devotee. So if all these Vrajavasis were giving blasphemous words to Krishna, hey, you stopped Indra Puja, right? This is the cause of our suffering. So they never said that, right? Although they said that, because that was never with anger or malice or any frustration or any dissatisfaction because of the activity of Krishna. They said that only to seek shelter of Krishna, like that. So all these, some cows, they stood still like statues. Their hair was erect and their udders and their stomachs became very thin. So these were the experiences of suffering. Krishna Krishna Mahabhagam Tvannatham Gokulam Prabho Tratumarhasi Devanna Kupitad Bhakta Vatsalam.
The cowherd men, women address the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also.
So, according to Harivamsa, Garga Samhita, all these Vrajavasis approached Krishna and Balaram both. Rama Rama Mahabaho, O mighty armed Balaram and Krishna, Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. So that's how they approached for protection. So now each limb of this verse is very nicely commented upon by Acharyas. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. They were saying Krishna Krishna repeatedly, right? Just to attract Krishna's attention towards their suffering, they were repeating the name Krishna. Krishna Krishna, right? Mahabhaga. Mahabhaga means you are the highest, you are the most fortunate. And because we are connected with you, we will also receive that fortune. Our fortune is to have you with us, right? You cause the highest fortune for us. That's why we are calling you Mahabhaga. Tvannatham. So Tvannatham means we have accepted you as our shelter, our Natha, right? Gokulam Prabho. Now Krishna may question, you are calling me Natha, whatever, Mahabhaga, right? What do I have? Okay, what do I have that you are calling me fortunate? Then Prabhu, they say, you are Prabhu, you have all powers. We have recently seen you, you have subdued Kaliya, you have all powers, right? You can protect us. Tratum arhasi, you can protect us. From whom? Devan naha, Devan. You protect us from Devas. They didn't take the name Indra because if they felt hatred towards Indra, or they thought it is sinful to utter the name Indra, We'll generally say that Devan. Tratu marhasi Devan naha. Right? Now, protect us from Devas. Then Krishna would say, it is not proper to show my power in front of the Devas, demigods. How can I show my power? Then he says, then Vrajavasis say, Kupitad Bhaktavatsalaha. So Gopas are, Devas are angry. You are Bhaktavatsalaha. You may say it is not appropriate to show your power in front of Devas, but we say that you are Bhaktavatsal. That quality of yours is more important than, you know, some so-called etiquette before the Devas. So you should protect us because you are Bhaktavatsala. There is nothing that you will not do for your devotees. Okay? You can show your powers in front of demigods also to protect your devotees. So please protect us. Like that. So by your words, we stopped Indra Puja and then worshipped Govardhan. Now Indra became angry. So you should protect us from Indra's wrath. And how come all the Vrajavasis who are affectionate towards Krishna only and have no reverential feelings towards Krishna, who never considers Krishna as a god or a powerful man, how come by default they are coming towards Krishna? Whether you consider a person powerful or not, if you love that person, it is natural for you to approach that person only in any kind of difficulty. Simple example for our understanding. For example, two of you are friends, right? You have experienced certain difficulty, right? Something you want to, you are experiencing. Your friend may not give you some solution, but it's natural for you to share this with him, right? So that is like, to some extent we can understand like this. And all these Vrajavasis were aware what Gargamuni told. What did Gargamuni say? Anena sarva durgani yuyam anjastarishyata. So this child is having Narayana samogunaihi. This child is endowed with all the qualities of Narayana. And he will protect you from all difficulties. Anena sarva durgani yuyas anjastarishyata. Very easily he will protect you. So all the Vrajavasis were thinking that, oh, this child, whenever we have difficulty, we will approach this child and Lord Narayana will empower him to protect us. Right? Still they are considering Narayana as Supreme Lord and Krishna is a small child which is an object of affection for all these Vrajavasis. But he will protect because he will be empowered by Narayana. Protection is coming through Narayana only, not from Krishna. Okay, but we will approach Krishna because we love him. This is their disposition. Huh? Ajami. Ah, correct, correct. Ajamil was carrying his child only. He was in Vatsalya Rasa with that Narayana. But original Narayana came. Yeah. Okay. Then 14th verse. Shilavarshati vatena hanyamanam achetanam niriksha bhagavan mene kupitendra kritam harihi.
Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra.
Actually, Krishna himself became angry here. After seeing the suffering of all these cows and Vrajavasis, Krishna became a little angry and then contemplated all this. Right? He understood. He can understand easily what is the cause of all this suffering. Kupitendra kritam harihi. So it is done by Kupita Indra, the angry Indra. So angry Indra has done this. This is a glorious deed of Indra. Harihi, Hari could understand. Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan severe distress, and it was an arrangement made by Krishna himself. Krishna's Leela Shakti only has created all this. Right, to enhance the loving dealings between residents of Vrindavan and the Lord. Right? So the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. Although they are experiencing certain distress, that is intensifying their meditation on Krishna. Ultimately it is successful. Right? Ultimately it is a sweet incident. It's not material distress. Material distress it goes in the background, right? But what comes in the foreground is their experience with Krishna. Apartvatulbanam varsham ativatam shilamayam svayare svayage vihate smabhir indronashaya varshati.
Shri Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain together with terrible winds and hail.
So here Chakravarti Pad gives a comment in the 14th verse that, as I just said, it is the Leela Shakti of the Supreme Lord that is creating all these disturbances, right, through Indra, for the purpose of tasting rasa with complete satisfaction and sweetness of prema. So one nice example he gives: when the hunger pangs of a person are increasing, and when he gets some food to eat, he will relish the food more, right? Ultimately, it is to satisfy the hunger of the person and then make him relish all the sweet rice and the water pakoda, kachori, whatever, everything, right? But if hunger pangs are more, he will relish the food more. If there is no hunger, then where is the question of deriving any satisfaction from the food, deriving any pleasure from the eating experience? That's what is happening. When there are apparent calamities in the lives of Rajavasis, that is only to increase their meditation and absorption in Krishna. Then the meditation and absorption in Krishna that happens in the midst of a danger is more intense, right? Similar to our experience of eating when we are in the midst of hunger, right? After Nirjala Ekadashi, whatever. Now here Krishna is thinking to himself in the 15th verse, because we have stopped his sacrifice. He said we, because Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, all the gopas, the entire Vrindavan community is a part of this, because we have stopped his sacrifice. That is one reason. Second reason is, Krishna is very bold. This we indicates the boldness in Krishna in order to break Indra's pride. Right? We have stopped his sacrifice. Indra has caused this unusual, fierce, unreasonable rain. Right? So Indra's, Indra poured rain to destroy Gokul, but actually Indra poured rain to destroy his own false pride. Right? Indra is pouring rain only to destroy his false pride, because it's all Krishna's arrangement. Ultimately, Krishna remains the supreme controller. The entire event from beginning till end is orchestrated by Krishna's will. There is no doubt about it. So the byproducts of this Krishna's orchestration, this entire episode, are Indra's pride is crushed. Okay, all the Vrajavasis came together and then saw Krishna nicely. Govardhan is glorified. And Govardhan Puja is introduced. Indra Puja is stopped. So there are so many byproducts of this. But everything is manifested by Krishna's will. Krishna's will and his entire pastime is the reciprocation of Krishna with his devotees. Some mixed devotees, some pure devotees. Right? Krishna is reciprocating with Indra. Okay, because Indra is puffed up, he is removing his pride. That's how Krishna is taking care of that devotee. And these people are desirous of seeing Krishna continuously. He is satisfying them. Right? And he wants to glorify Govardhan. So all this.
Tatra prati vidham samyag atma yoga yena sadhyate lokeshamaninam maudhyat dhanishye srimadam tamah.
By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance.
So vidhi means a rule or a protocol, something to be followed. Pratividhi means counter of that. counteracting measure. Tatra pratividhim samyag. Samyag means very properly, befitting manner, appropriate manner. Okay, I will do the pratividhi, counteracting measure for this Indra's pride, very properly, very appropriately. Okay, I will give him the right dose. Okay, atma yogena sadhyate, sadhaye. How will I do that? Through my atma yoga, through my internal mystic power, right, through my energies. What is the issue here? Lokesha maninam maudhyat. So maudhyat, out of foolishness, these fellows are thinking loka isha manina. They were thinking they were the controllers of the loka, this planets. So they, he said. He didn't say he, because he is including other demigods also. Because when Indra is tormenting Vrajavasis, some other demigods are also assisting him. Wind god is also assisting him, right? Whoever is supporting Indra, Krishna is including all of them. Right? Lokesha maninam maudhyat dhanishye srimadam tamaha. So, hanishye srimadam tamaha. I will reduce their, I will defeat their pride, srimadam, tamaha and ignorance. So, actually what Krishna says is true. Krishna says that demigods are intoxicated with sri, opulence, srimadam. What Indra said was not true. He was saying the same thing. Vrajavasis are intoxicated with Sri, Srimada. But Srimada is actually applying to Indra. And this could also mean that Krishna, through this incident, he is giving a warning not to other demigods also. Because right in the next chapter, in one of the, after this Govardhan episode, we have one more episode where Varuna kidnaps Nanda Maharaj. Right? So it is like indicating them also. servants of Varuna. Then 17th verse. Nahisad bhava yuktanam suranam isha vishmayah mattoshatam mana bhanga prashamayopakalpate.
Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, a false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief.
So, this verse is a very hopeful verse. Right? This verse is reflecting Krishna's quality of forgiveness. Nahi sad bhava yuktanam suranam isha vismayah. So, when the demigods, Sri Suras, are isha vismayah, they identify themselves as lords, they falsely identify themselves as lords. Actually, they were supposed to be in sadbhava yuktanam. They were supposed to be endowed with mode of goodness, sadbhava yuktanam. Demigods were supposed to be in that disposition. But if they consider themselves the controller, matto satam mana bhangaha. So what I will do? I will break their false prestige. Asatam, impure, mana, false prestige, bhangaha. I will eradicate their impure, false prestige. Right? Prashamayopakalpate. Right? My intention is to relieve them. My purpose is to relieve them from suffering, relieve them from all inauspiciousness and cause auspiciousness. So, just like when the cloth becomes dirty, by washing it, it will become clean. Similarly, their minds became dirty by false pride. I will wash it away. Krishna personally takes charge of washing the contamination in the mind of a devotee when he is getting intoxicated. Right? So, Krishna is, that's what he is doing. In Bali Maharaj's episode also, we have seen when Bali Maharaj is entering this Swargaloka to conquer Indra's kingdom, there is a description of Swargaloka. If you remember, there is a long description of Swarga, and one of those verses say that those who reside in Swarga should be free from false pride, envy, all the negative qualities. Right? When the squall... Bali Maharaj's episode. Bali Maharaj is attacking Indra. So when someone is not having that disposition, he will fall down from that position. or Krishna will purify them from that kind of disposition, like that. So a demigod means he is sadbhava yukta, right? He is supposed to be endowed with good consciousness. So Krishna was thinking, I will not crush him completely, but I will correct this fault and awaken my devotee and help my devotee, right? Although they are intoxicated with pride, they have sentiments for me. So Krishna was thinking like this. Although Indra was intoxicated with pride, he has sentiments for me, right? Temporarily he may have forgotten me, but ultimately he is my devotee. Krishna is thinking like this. Now it's my responsibility to purify him of the false pride. So that is the hope that, this is a hope for us. Okay, devotee should, Krishna is always concerned about the devotee. So demigods are supposed to be sadbhava yukta because they are deputed servants of the Lord. Ultimately Krishna's service of being the king of heaven or the demigod of rains is a part of his service to Krishna. So temporarily he just forgot his servitude towards Krishna, and then he was caught up in the temporary facilities and privileges that his role is offering him. So all the demigods are managing various departments of cosmic administration. That's what a demigod profile is. In the third canto, Prabhupada says that there are some living entities who have a pure consciousness of service to the Lord. Right, one category. There is another category of living entities who have a contaminated consciousness of lording over this material nature, and there is a third category of living entities who have a mixed consciousness. They want to do Lord service little bit. They also want to lord over the material nature little bit. Okay, they have a mixed consciousness. So such people are made the managers of this material universe. Oh, you want to serve me, and you also want to control also. Okay. I will give you a service where there is controllership. Become demigod. Okay? Become a manager in this universal administrative system. Okay? And manage my affairs. We have some control, and that controllership is in my service. But sometimes when the controllership overwhelms the demigod so much, Krishna has to bring him down. Or you are forgetting the servant part. You are remembering only the controller part. You should remember both. Right? See, he does like this. And eventually when the servitude aspect of his consciousness increases much more than his controllership, he will go back to Godhead. Right? He will no longer manage these universal affairs, he will go back to Godhead. Like that. No, that's what is forgetfulness. No?
The family of Krishna, is there like an expansion in the spiritual world and then expansion in the material world, or how does it work? Because Indra is supposed to be born as one of the family members of Yadus. Except for Brahma, we hear that everybody took birth in the families of Yadus. And my understanding is nobody is there in the heavenly planets. They've all taken birth. As demigods, demigoddesses.
Planets, how will the universe run?
So that's my question. Is there like expansion when we see even in Samudra Manthan Leela?
Expansions.
One is.
You see, even in Maushala Leela, 11th canto, where all the Yadus were destroying themselves, right? They were there also. It's mentioned that demigod expansions came, okay, as Yadus, and after this Krishna's pastimes of 123 whatever number of years is done, they went back into their things. Right? Whenever Krishna descends, he will come, descend with all his expansions, personal expansions, and along with some demigods also, their expansions, and then come here, does the leelas, and then they go back. When he is disappearing, he will leave all the expansions in their respective abodes and then go back to his Goloka. So Indra, I exactly don't know where he took birth in Krishna's leelas, if he has taken birth, but Indra is definitely there, managing the universal affairs also, although his expansion may have appeared. And Indra getting bewildered, although he only prayed for Krishna's descent, that is the main theme. That is a basic thing. Like, even though they only prayed, still they forget. Brahma also forget, just a few chapters back, 13th chapter. To bring them back to consciousness, Krishna has to do.
Every time a demon is killed, we see demigods pouring flowers.
Now also demigods will pour flowers. After Govardhan episode, all the Vidyadharas, Charanas, yeah, they just pour flowers and do Pushyabhishek. So there is always, forgetfulness is a constant theme of the condition. But that is temporary in the case of demigods. They will immediately come back to the service. Would you like to explain?
Came here, so at that time Ariyama was officiating the post also. Mm. That, like that, when demigods are involved in one activity, they may always have substitute, I think, correct? No?
So mana or false prestige is certainly an anxiety-ridden burden for the conditioned soul. A falsely proud person is not truly peaceful or satisfied because his understanding of himself is false and inflated. Very heavy statements are there in the purports. A falsely proud person is not truly peaceful or satisfied because his understanding of himself is false, inflated. He is in a wrong conception. He is thinking of himself what he is not. Like that. That is Maya. That which is not. Lord saves him from impiety by breaking the false prestige that has led him to be offensive or sinful. Okay. So, 18th verse. Tasman matcharanam goshtam. Mannatham matparigraham. Gopaye svatma yogena. Soyam me vrata ahitaha.
I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees.
Hmm. So 17th and 18th verses are describing Krishna's attitude or concern towards his fully surrendered devotees and some devotees who become deviant once in a while. So Indra or some demigods sometimes deviate from the path of their service to Krishna. Krishna thinks, Krishna's thoughts about them are mentioned in 17th verse. And Vrajavasis are completely surrendered devotees, unalloyed surrender. So, Krishna's attitude towards them is described in 18th verse. Okay, both are nice, important verses. Tasman mat sharanam goshtam. So, this cowherd community have taken shelter of me. Mat sharanam. Man natham. They consider me as their master. Mat parigraham. They have accepted me. They are my own family. Mat parigraham. Gopaye svatma yogena yoyam me vrata ahitaha. So my vrata, my vow. So Krishna also takes some vows. What is his vow? To protect my devotees. Soyam me vrata ahataha. So to protect my surrendered devotees is my vow. So I will do it now. Not only these gopas and gopis. Whoever has surrendered to me, I will protect them. Right? Lord Rama also said, Vibhishan, what to speak of Vibhishan, even if Ravan comes also, I will protect him, because if he surrenders to me. I am everything to them. They love me only. Right? And this protection is eternally accomplished and will be enacted now. Right? This vow, this vrata of Krishna is an eternal vrata. Okay? Not for 10 days or 40 days like Swami Saranamayappa. So they do the 40 days vrata. It is eternal vow of Krishna. So Krishna has established his home among them. So mat goshtam, right? Mat parigraham, Krishna has established his home. The word sharanam can represent either home or protector. Okay? So Krishna would naturally protect such surrendered souls. So 18th verse, Chakravartipa says, because this disturbance is created by Indra, I will protect Vraja. Vraja is my home. I am the master of the house, Mannatha. Then it is the place where my father, brother, dear ones live, Mat Parigraham. Not, not only will I protect these people from this disturbance, but I protect all people even at the time of Mahapralaya. To indicate this, Krishna says, I have accepted this vow. Okay. I will now take the countermeasures for that. At the same time, I will take away the pride of the controllers of planets, Ishamanis.
Ityuktvaikena
hastena
kritva govardhana chalam
dadhara lilaya
vishnus
chatakam
iva balaka.
Having said this, Lord Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds a mushroom.
So, iti uktva, so after saying this, ekena hastena, with just one hand, right, kritva govardhana achalam, govardhana achal, seshachal, simhachal, so achalam is mountain. Neelachal. Neelachal, kridachal, jagannathar. So, achala means mountain. So, Krishna just lifted with one hand, one full mountain. Dadhara lelaya Vishnus. So, this Vishnu is sometimes read as Krishna's also, right, in some versions of Bhagavatam. So, Dadhara lelaya Krishna, just as a pastime, he just lifted it. Chatrakam eva balagha, just like a small child can lift a mushroom, that's how Krishna lifted Govardhan. Or just like a baby elephant can lift a lotus, Krishna just lifted. And while lifting, he is not taking support from the right hand. Krishna was having his right hand on his waist and then he is lifted like this. Right? So that is the posture. So he lifted Govardhan from its base. Right? And one can see a split just north of Manas Ganga. He just lifted like that. And the hill appeared as if it were about to fly with wings. Right? Suddenly mountain is rising. Is it going to fly or what? That's how it was perceived. So, and Harivamsa describes what all damages that have happened to Govardhan also. So, the hill peaks, some of the hill peaks were broken. Some of the peaks of the hill were cracked. Some were covered by clouds. That was the condition of Govardhan at that point, right? But this is all a part of pastime only, right? But Govardhan cannot, not even a single speck of dust of Govardhan was, moved because of Indra's rain. Because as soon as the rain is falling, Krishna is drying it up. And more details are there, we'll discuss, very exciting details. So it is confirmed in Harivamsa that Krishna picked up Govardhan with his left hand. With his left hand, he picked up the mountain, which was touching the clouds. Chakvartipad says that when Krishna was preparing to lift Govardhan, a partial expansion of his Yogamaya potency called Samhariki Shakti temporarily removed all rain from the sky. So actually, all the cowherd boys, the cowherd men, came to Krishna's house. From Krishna's veranda, Krishna ran to Govardhan to lift. Right? While Krishna was running towards Govardhan, his turban or his clothes or his body did not become wet at all. Okay, because Krishna's Samhariki Shakti was protecting him from rain. Okay. So the hill was shaking. When Krishna was lifting Govardhan, Govardhan was shaking. And all the flower bearing trees on top of Govardhan, from their branches, they were showering flowers. Right? When Krishna was lifting, Pushyabhishek is happening around the hill. Right, and all the birds were little silent at that time. All the lions in the caves of Govardhan, so they became very angry and roared. Right. So 20th verse.
Athaha Bhagavan
Gopan
Hembatata Vrajaukasaha Yathopa Josham Vishata Girigartam Sagodhanah.
The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Vraja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows.
So the question here is, Krishna must have lifted the Govardhan hill, which is just 3 miles across. So how could all the Vrajavasis, who are so many thousands, how could they fit under that Govardhan? Answer to that is found in this question. So, some more details about the condition of Govardhan. The uneven surfaces of Govardhan are becoming little even, and even surfaces are becoming little uneven. And the hill appeared little deformed and completely different. So, the shape of Govardhan before this Indra's attack was little different from this current condition, right? And all the caves in Govardhan, they were closed by clouds, and the hill appeared to be sleeping with Krishna's hand as pillow, right, when Krishna lifted Govardhan. So, now Krishna is calling, Athaha Bhagavan Gopan, Hey Amba, Hey Tata, Ho Vrajaukasas. So, he is calling Amba, first he is calling Mother Yashoda. First he invited Mother Yashoda under Govardhan. Why? Because she had so much affection for Krishna. So, Krishna wanted to acknowledge her affection first. And she was very worried. She was very sorrowful because she was fearing for the protection of Krishna, and she was thinking that Krishna's act made Indra angry. Indra is angry upon Krishna. What is going to happen to Krishna? So, Indra, Yashodamayi was little worried about Krishna. To protect her from that worry, he called first Indra. He called Mother Yashoda first. Right? And Govardhan was appearing as if like Govardhan was on the hands of Krishna, and all the clouds and thunderbolts and then other storms and then everything were attacking Govardhan. Govardhan appeared like a country which is being attacked by enemy kings. And under this, Krishna is calling Mother, Mother, come inside. It's all, safe here. And Tata, oh, my father, you come. And he called Rohini Devi also, and he called all the Vrajavukasas also, all the inhabitants of Vraja also. And this Vraja inhabitants, Vrajavukasa included thousands of cows, calves, bulls and so on. And they could not fit under the base of the medium-sized hill, Govardhan. Right? But the hill was ecstatic. With the touch of Krishna, hill became ecstatic. So from bottom, Krishna is touching the hill, and from above, or Indra is throwing thunderbolts and then heavy rain, which is like columns, big columns are coming, or big elephant-sized raindrops are falling on Govardhan. But Govardhan did not even feel that something is falling on him. Right? Govardhan did not have that sensation only. Or even it felt that some pushabhishek is happening on Govardhan. Some flowers. Indra is throwing some flowers and garlands only on him. Because Govardhan was in the was in touch with Krishna's hand, it did not have any problem. And because of the inconceivable power of the Lord, the size of Govardhan, which is like 3 miles across, became 32 miles. Right? And it could give shelter to entire Vrindavan community. So, at times, Govardhan is not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. Right? So, Krishna says in Harivamsa, that this Govardhan can give shelter to all three worlds. What to speak of one small village, Vraja, Vrindavan community. Because in the three worlds, pure devotees are only few. They are Vrajavasis only. Okay, it can accommodate entire universal inhabitants. Why can't it accommodate few of pure devotees? So they are very rare, very small. So Krishna says like this. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs, the other animals and birds standing on the hill, they also did not feel any distress, right? They did not experience the slightest distress, the inhabitants above the hill. And the inhabitants below the hill, of course, they did not have any kind of distress.
Natrasa ihava karyo madhastadri nipatanat vatavarsha bhayenalam tatranam vihitam hiva.
You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand, and don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged.
So, Krishna is trying to pacify or reassure the Vrajavasis. So, Krishna called all the Vrajavasis, and then Balaramji also brought all of them close together. Right? Oh, father, don't fear. Mother, don't fear. Don't be troubled. Oh, friends, please be happy. And Krishna is saying, I am not exerting myself at all. So, their worry is about Krishna. Hare Krishna is lifting such a big mountain, what will happen to him? That is their worry. So, I am not at all exerting myself. Because this Govardhan mountain, because you have offered Govardhan so much worship and then offered so much bhoga, Govardhan is reciprocating with all of us, and Govardhan is himself rising up on my hand. Okay, and I am not even feeling the weight of a cotton swab on my finger. Right? Govardhan himself is rising. So, please don't worry. Come under the hill. Okay. I see within the mountain hole having a ladder. This is another important nice detail. When Krishna lifted Govardhan, a small, stone slab, small rock, right? It detached himself from Govardhan so that, Krishna can stand on it and then he can lift it comfortably, right? Seeing that they were thinking that he could not hold the mountain and it would fall, he again spoke, "Oh, respectable people, do not forbid me to do this on the advice of my mother. Main worry is Yashoda Mai's, and Yashoda Mai's worry is influencing other Vrajavasis also. Right? Please don't be influenced by my mother. I can do this. Right? How can the mountain fall from the hand of someone lifting it? I am lifting it. Okay. However, do not delay very long. Seeing your suffering, I will tremble, then the mountain will fall. You should happily come inside so that I will be confident and then I can hold the hill." Right? So, understanding Krishna's desire, all the cowherd men and women, they came inside along with their cows, carts and grains, okay, whatever they had. They did not think of him as their protector. They only thought of him as the object of service and to be protected, right? Although Krishna is calling them and then giving them protection, they were not thinking that Krishna is our protector, right? Just to reciprocate with Krishna's desire that all the Vrajavasis should come closer to him under the hill, all the Vrajavasis are entering under the hill, right? So with his arms on a friend's shoulder, so he held his flute in his bent hand. So one hand is holding and from the other hand, he is putting on some shoulder of one friend and then he is taking the flute. So Govardhan was like a huge horse, huge house decorated with jewels in which Krishna was situated as a sapphire pillar. It's like a huge house, Krishna is sapphire pillar, blue sapphire. So Krishna's arm was like a jeweled stick and the mountain was like an umbrella above. Like umbrella and a jeweled stick. Within that, it was Krishna's arm was like that. The rain falling everywhere was like strings of pearls. The people of Raja experienced the rain as a splendor. Then Yashoda, along with Rohini, held Krishna on both sides. Right? So poets describe this scene. He was held on the sides by two mothers, who began wiping his lotus face repeatedly. Oh, you are sweating, Krishna, with their cloths. Right? You see mothers do that. Seeing his amazing actions, Nanda and others stood with hair standing on end. Then with smiling lotus eyes, with hands making a dancer's gestures, holding the mountain on his left hand, he shouted, "Victory, victory," while playing. So in front of Krishna, Balaram, like an actor in a drama, amused all the jovial people. Okay, so many very beautiful details by Gopal Champu. Okay, we will go ahead. तथा निर्विविशुर्गर्तम् कृष्णाश्वासितमानसः यथावकाशं सधनाः सव्रजाः सोपजीविनः.
Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants and priests, and for all other members of the community as well.
So Krishna is reassuring them, your protection is arranged, okay? Your deliverance from all these afflictions is already arranged. So all the Vrajavasis heard the skillful words of Krishna and their minds are pacified and they found ample room for everyone. We under the hill, they entered, right, with their utensils, their carts, everything. So Balram and other Gopas, they entered inside and then supported Krishna with sticks, right? Except Balram, most of the people were thinking that, I am also holding half of the weight. So they were thinking like that. So in his mind, Krishna ordered Sudarshan Chakra to manifest. Krishna ordered Anantasesh to manifest, right? What are their services? He ordered Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra became like as brilliant as, you know, millions of suns, 10 million suns, and then above Govardhan Hill, it was rotating. The chakra was rotating. And whatever thunderbolts and then rain, all the storms, everything that Indra was pouring, Sudarshan was drying them up. It's absorbing and drying them up completely by this heat. Right, it hovered above the hill and drank up the falling streams of water. Then Sesha, he coiled around Govardhan, right? So Sesha himself coiled around Govardhan and stopped the incoming flood that is coming. Because when water is coming from above, it will inundate the land also. So, and they were standing under the hill, then water will come inside the hill also, under the hill also. But Sesha was coiling around Govardhan and not allowing the water to come inside. Right? Inside it was dry. On top of it, every single drop of water that is falling on the ground, Krishna's Shakti is drying it up completely. Right? What land is not even becoming wet. Waters become flood and other things. Right?
Kshutrudvyatham sukhapeksham. Hitvatair Vrajavasibhi Vikshamano Dadharadrim Saptaham Najalatpadat.
Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Raja gazed upon him.
So Sukadeva Goswami summarizes everything in one verse. But after this verse, there is lot of detail. What happened under the hill? That's another full chapter. You read from Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Gopal Champu, all this. So, Krishna is concerned for Vrajavasi's emotions. He held the mountain in his left hand to make the people happy with the understanding that it was not tiring to him. Right? Since they were only interested in happiness with no regard of their own lives. So they were, nobody was worried that they were feeling inconvenience or anything like that. But they were only concerned that Krishna should not be inconvenienced. Right? He's holding this for us. So is he getting troubled? That is their main concern. Chakravartipas says in the 23rd purport, that they forgot about comforts like sleeping and pain caused by hunger and thirst, since it was looked at specially with astonishment. And the highest affection for by the cows, cowherds, women of Raja, who took him as their life or made him the only object of happiness for their eyes. So they are looking at him aided with holding up the mountain. Actually, Krishna is feeling that I am being empowered by the loving glances of my devotees. Because they were, their faces were so blissful and happy and they were reciprocating with me nicely and they were in pleasure, their pleasure is giving me power to hold the mountain. That's what Krishna was thinking. By their glancing, he had no desire for sleeping. When you are standing for long, you feel like sitting sometime or sleeping sometime. Krishna gave up his desire of sleeping also, just because he is receiving the glances from all the Vrajavasis. He did not move from the place where he fixed his feet. This indicates that holding mountain was very easy. So Krishna is reassured that all the Vrajavasis are happy because of his lifting mountain. And Vrajavasis are reassured that Krishna is not being troubled by lifting this mountain. So by this mutual reassurance, both of them felt inspired to stay happily for 7 days and seven nights. Or giving up his comforts, he held up the mountain. Chakravarti Pada. So 7 days passed as if it were one ghatika. And Krishna is facing everyone. So there are so many Vrajavasis surrounding Krishna, right, on all sides of Krishna. And if you are standing in one direction, you will see that direction only. I can't see what is happening behind. But Krishna is facing everyone. No, that is inconceivable. Only Krishna can do that. And everyone is stunned. And like Chakora birds, they were drinking the nectar of Krishna's darshan for 7 days. So they quote Vishnu Purana also. Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by residents of Raja, all of whom now had the opportunity to dwell together with him, and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes. Thus the cowherd men and women were all elated, and out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide, astonished. So by continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst or fatigue. And Krishna, by seeing their beautiful forms, also forgot about eating, right, drinking and sleeping. So 7 days of continuous rain from Samvartaka clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura because the Supreme Lord, simply by his potency, immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. Thus Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill is full of fascinating details and has remained for thousands of years one of the most famous pastimes. Right? So we'll discuss some details nevertheless after break. Hare Krishna. Shall we start? So, in the 24th verse, we have Sukadeva Goswami summarizing the 7 days events in a verse, saying that everyone forgot their hunger, thirst, they put aside all the other considerations. They were very happy because they were constantly gazing at Krishna. We have few details from Gopal Champu and Anandanandan Champu. Garga Samhita and Harivamsa do not describe so many details of what happened under the hill in the 7 days. But Anandanandan Champu very elaborately describes this. So we will, as much as time permits, we will discuss some of them. In one Kartik Yatra, I think 2007 or 11 also, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj discusses all these details of Anandanandan Champu very nicely. So Gopal Champu says, Yashoda and Rohini were holding Krishna on both of his sides. Okay. While outside there were great rainstorms, roaring wind, hail, hard hail, thunder and dark clouds which caused suffering. Inside there was no rain. There were sweet voices, pleasant breezes, attractive songs, rays of light. And Krishna was a remarkable beauty, and that produced happiness. Right, entire Vrindavan was dark because of Indra's clouds and all, sun and moon were covered, but inside there is light, generator, that is from Krishna's glands. There was singing and dancing by skillful performers. The best residents gave charity. Knowers of Vedic customs chanted auspicious prayers. The children prayed, and everyone's pride was reduced and their prema was increased. What happiness did the lifter of mountain not give to them in these 7 days? So, in various pastimes of Vrindavan, we see Krishna reciprocating with various devotees in different rasas. Right? Madhurya, some Vatsalya, some Sakya, like that. But in this particular pastime, Krishna reciprocated with all the devotees of all rasas simultaneously. Krishna's glands would produce such affectionate parental feelings in all the elderly gopis and gopas, Yashodamayi, Rohini and Nanda Baba. And it will churn such romantic emotions in all the hearts of gopis, right? And all the sakhas, all the cowherd boys, they were having some jovial, joking relations anyways with Krishna. So with all kinds of rasas, simultaneously Krishna is enjoying, right? Only Krishna can do that. He is Rasaraj. Krishna's praiseworthy glance was humble to the elders, then smiling to the equals, filled with tears to his followers, and sometimes unsteady. But it was crooked towards Indra, right? Everyone under the hill was completely absorbed in ecstasy, except one person, that is Krishna. So towards each of them, he expressed an appropriate meaning. Any other action would have the fault of redundancy. And Ananta, this is beautiful. Ananta had 1,000 mouths. In one of the second canto verse, we hear, Nantam vidamya hamami manayograjaste maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye gayan gunan dasasatanana adideva seshodhanapi napavasyati asya param. So Lord Ananta glorifies Krishna, enumerates the activities of Krishna since time immemorial, and he will continue it for the rest of eternity, but still he couldn't complete all the glories of Krishna. Now, one particular pastime, that is Govardhan Dharan, Govardhan Leela, that Ananta is glorifying with 1,000 mouths, and he is describing it for 7 kalpas. But he cannot complete the glories of Krishna's pastime of holding mountain for 7 days and 7 nights. What happened in 7 days and 7 nights, Lord Ananta could not describe in 7 kalpas. Right? Because even a simple glance of Krishna can have hundreds of meanings. Okay? When he is reciprocating with one devotee, what to speak of when Krishna is reciprocating with all the Vrajavasis simultaneously? Right, how elaborate commentaries can a person give? We discuss in 3 hours, one chapter. But Ananta Seshi is describing for 7 kalpas. He could not complete this one episode. Right? So, yeah, we will go into some details from Anandavrindavan Jambu. First, both the submissive gopis and contrary ones, like Srimati Radharani, so they smiled blissfully while looking at Krishna with love-laden glances. So this is some Madhurya thing is happening. Then Batu said, Madhumangal, Brahman, right? He said, "Oh dear most friend of the whole world, please listen to my words. By my Brahma Tejas, Brahma Tejas, spiritual potency, I will fill you with happiness." Right? When I am your friend, why are you unnecessarily troubling yourself by holding Giriraj? Right? So I can hold this Giriraj with the tip of my golden stick, Brahman stick, right? You must not be exhausted. Relax. Right? Now relax, take some rest, sit for a while. He was saying like that. Then Vrajeshwari, Yashodamai. So she started addressing Krishna. "Krishna, my darling child, why you are always impudent? So far we have been peacefully organizing this Indra Puja, right? Since so many years we are holding this Indra Puja festival, and you unnecessarily stopped this because of your uncontrolled senses, right? Why you act impudently and then cause anger to the demigods? Because of your impudence only this whole thing has happened. I am worried about your protection. Disregarding the demigods never will bring auspiciousness for us, right? How can one find fortune if he shows enmity towards the demons or demigods? Enmity towards demons and demigods, both is dangerous. Right? Because both are powerful, they will give us trouble. So why did you unnecessarily stop? Then, although Krishna's body is inexhaustible, Yashodamai is thinking that he is getting tired. He is overworking. Right? Considering that, she expressed her motherly affection by reaching up to his lotus hand and then trying to massage or just trying to comfort that hand. Right? How can your soft hand, pure hand which is soft like butter, how can it hold such a huge mountain? Right? Then Mother Yashoda started praying to Giriraj. "Oh Giriraj, if at all you are some worshipable god," right? They worshipped Govardhan because Krishna told. But Yashodamai is saying, "If at all you are some worshipable god, please do something to become soft, to become lightweight on the hands of Krishna, right? All my sons' actions are in accordance with instructions of Shastras and saintly persons, so you should not cause any trouble to him. So you should become light on him." Then Batu said, he said, "Mother, don't speak like this. Okay, how can you say that Krishna is in distress and how he is overworking to hold this Govardhan, right? What good that Indra has done for us, right? Indra has not done anything good for us. Now, because Krishna suggested this Govardhan Puja, we are getting the fortune of seeing Krishna for so long time, having such full darshan of Krishna. Okay, now just appreciate the dazzling sweetness of Krishna that has manifested in this lifting of Govardhan this past time, right? Just look at Krishna. Why are you unnecessarily troubling?" Then Mother Yashoda replied, "You bold one, you holding a very heavy load over on one's head is not a pastime of sweetness. There is sweetness here. He is just doing some weightlifting and you are saying it is very sweet. So lifting the enormous weight of Giriraj will cause one to become distressed and disabled. Just see the locks of the curly hair on Krishna's face, cheeks, is wet with perspiration. Right? So as a mother, I can see that perspiration. But you are just unnecessarily joking. Right? How can a mother's heart tolerate such a hardship? Shiva Shiva," she was saying like this. "How can mother's heart tolerate such hardship?" Then Krishna said, "Mother, please, there is nothing more funny than this. It is a great fun to lift Govardhan. So why are you worried about me for nothing? So Govardhan is actually floating in the air. I am not lifting at all. I am just touching. Okay, I am not even having the weight of a cotton swab on my hand." Then Yashoda replied, "Is it true? If it is true, let the Govardhan stand like that. You remove your hand from there." Right? How can you not be tired after standing here for so long? Even if Govardhan is lifting itself, you are standing for a long time. So Govardhan I will believe your words if Govardhan gives up the joyful association of the touch of your hand, and then you can sit down. Right, then I will believe your hands. Then Bhattu said, O Queen of Vrindavan, Yashoda Mayi, so don't you know that this great mountain is sitting on the hands of Krishna by the power of my mantras? Right? He is not lifting. I am chanting my Brahmanical mantras because of my Brahma Tejas, it is standing on the air. Right? It is natural because everyone is favorably disposed towards the Lord of their hearts. Therefore, my friend is not feeling any pain because of holding Giriraj. Then Yashodamai started chastising Bhattu. Oh, impudent one. So what kind of nonsense you are speaking? Right? I am burning with anxiety for my son, and you are making jokes and making fun out of it. Right? You are laughing about it. Then Nanda Maharaj intruded. He said, why are you scolding Bhattu? Right? In this world, a person who is diplomatic, means expert in diplomacy, in the art of diplomacy, who can use it for positive purposes, he would generally pacify a dejected person with some encouraging words. He will make him laugh, he will comfort himself, comfort the other person. That's what Bhattu is doing. Because you are in anxiety, Bhattu is encouraging you. Right? Why are you scolding him? Like that. So like that, such sweet exchanges were happening. Then one Vrajvasi started appreciating Krishna's threefold form. While holding the mountain also, Krishna is standing in threefold form. He is not standing straight. Right? He's like, leg is turned, and then waist is curved, and then head is curved. So he was in threefold bending form. Then people were appreciating his beauty. See his threefold bending form. His left side stretches up broad and straight without showing the three lines on his belly. Right? Some stretch is there, you can't see the lines on the belly. And his waist is gently curved. His garland, his uttariya, thin chadar are swinging to his left side. So it is very pleasant to see. His right thumb is tucked in his left, in his waist cloth, hip. Right? This red waist cloth was there. Right? It was tucked there. So, morning I wanted to put that red waist cloth, but I kept blue waist cloth, Vrindavan Vihari. So, another second Vrajavasi said, so, look, it is a great mystery that since Krishna had not moved for a long time, his ankle bells, which crush all false pride, solve all problems, and deliver one from all dangers, have now become silent, just like a dumb person. When Krishna is moving, his anklets will make some sound. But Krishna is standing still, that's why they are not making sound. So their pride is a little crushed, like that they are describing. Beautifully they described many other details. Then someone else said, oh, look at Krishna. While holding Giriraj in his hand, he holds his pastime flute in his other hand, pressing it gently to his lips and plays soft tunes. Right? That fills us with exhilaration. Then Bhattu immediately became alert. Oh, my friend Krishna, don't play your flute. How will you protect your friend and Vrindavan community if you start playing flute? Your flute has the power to destroy everything. Right? Simply by hearing it, mountains will melt into water. Rivers will become solid. We have discussed this in Venugita also. Right? So, it will do incredible things. Right? Some other cowherd boy said. So, may this mountain maintain its patience and keep protecting us from this calamity. Right? If the mountain starts melting, before Indra does anything, we will be drowned by this Giriraj only. Right? Giriraj itself will drown us. So, some were saying like that. But some Gopas said, no. A person who is very sober, right, gentle person, so he maintains his sobriety. And even if he goes into ecstasy and then loses his composure and starts melting, still because he is sober, he will come back to his normal condition and then he will not melt in ecstasy. So Giriraj, considering our predicament, he will not melt. Although he may tend to go into ecstasy, he will control his ecstasy for our protection, don't worry. Let Krishna play flute. Right? That's how some people encouraged. And some people were chastising Indra. See the foolishness of Indra. Even though he is supposed to be the well-wisher of all, he has shown anger to such innocent person. Right? Within his heart, he has enmity against Krishna. Oh, lifter of Giriraj, Indra tries to destroy our dynasty with his lightning bolts. So, like that, they were chastising Indra, some people. Then one Brajavasi said, "Oh, Srimati Radharani, your face is superbly beautiful. Do not make your eyebrows dance while Krishna is holding up Govardhan." Right? That will severely agitate his mind. Then the mountain will fall off. We will be crushed under the mountain. So don't do that. And there were some other beautiful talks between Radharani and his and her gopis. Then Batu immediately said, "Oh, residents of Vrindavan, don't be afraid. We are just some Vrajavasis were holding it with sticks, right? So he said, don't be afraid. We are just scratching the body of Giriraj with your sticks, right? Do not think that you are holding up the hill. Right? Krishna is holding the hill and he is not tired at all. Right? Besides, he is the brother of Balaram, who is very powerful, and Krishna is also very powerful. So he is only holding the hill. You don't think that you are holding the hill. Right? So there were some more beautiful discussions. And at one point, Yashodamayi stepped forward and then she said, "See, all the cows and calves stopped eating grass, right? They were so distressful because you are standing there holding the hill, not eating anything. So if you don't eat, they will also not eat, right? Oh, beloved one, the day has moved along and you appear afflicted. See, your luster is reducing, right, because of not eating, and your belly has become curved. It just went inside." So although he is like proper, Yashodamayi perceives like that. In Vatsalya Rasa, "Seeing that your lotus feet has withered from fasting, the cows refuse to eat anything." Right? They can't even move an inch because you are not eating anything. "Then therefore, my appeal is, please stop playing this flute artistically and drop your arm so that I can feed you with my hand." Right? "One whose actions are exemplary will adjust his behavior according to the conditions." Right? "So I have brought you some soft cakes and tasty creamy yogurt with thick skin on top." Right? Means Malai. Right? "Now take these delicious items along with Ram and your friends." Immediately Batu intruded. "Yes, that's a good proposal." Right? "So your mother spoke appropriately. Right? You should eat. You should never go against her. Right? Moreover, I am also upset by hunger. So come, let's eat." So like that. So Krishna, mother is also feeding, and then such beautiful discussions and pastimes are going on under the hill, right, for 7 days and seven nights. Other details are also there. Now we'll move ahead. 24th verse. Now, inside, under the hill, there is such festival going on. Everyone forgot that they were being attacked by Indra, and there is, they are in some predicament, they are away from homes, right? What happened to my house? How much water went in? Right? How much I have to clean? So nothing, no other consideration. They were absorbed in ecstasy. Just like for, you know, whatever 10 minutes of discussion, we forgot that we are in this chapter only. So we will come back to Indra's emotions. Krishna yoga anubhavam tam निशम्येन्द्रोति विस्मितः निस्तंभो भ्रष्टसंकल्पः स्वान् मेघान् संन्यवाय वारयत्।
When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished. Pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions thwarted, he ordered his clouds to desist.
One small detail I just remembered. This morning I was sitting with Madhav Gopal Prabhu for breakfast. So he said, "Say something." I just told few points in this chapter. Then he said one thing. Once gopis asked Srimati Radharani, right? So I think somebody said, or Radharani herself said, so Krishna was lifting Govardhan only because Radharani glanced at him and empowered him to lift, right? So someone challenged Radharani. So if your glance can lift, right, and Krishna is not lifting on its own, you lift and show. So, so someone asked Radharani. So Radharani, okay, my glance empowered Krishna to lift. So now I need not lift it personally. I will only glance on Govardhan and let's see whether it will lift or not. So Radharani glanced on Govardhan and then Govardhan rose up. And rose much higher than when Krishna lifted Govardhan. Krishna lifted till head, Radharani, by her glance, she lifted Govardhan till that head. So that one more past time that happened. So Krishna takes pleasure in being defeated by Srimati Radharani. Right? And Krishna exhibited this Mohini Murti form. Right? And even Shiva also was you know, frustrated and captivated by that form. Someone said, oh, this Krishna's Mohini Murti form is so beautiful. Okay? Is it so beautiful, more beautiful than Srimati Radharani? Then some gopis said, Krishna, you manifest that form. Let's compare it with Radharani. So Krishna manifested Mohini Murti form and Radharani was standing next to Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti was in no way she was in comparison with Srimati Radharani. That is the conclusion of all the gopis. Like that. So now Indra, coming to Indra's emotions. So Indra was an Airavat, right, with his armies. He threw thunderbolt on Giriraj. So Krishna suddenly paralyzed the thunderbolt along with the arm that threw it. Right? So our Indra just fell off and then he was terrified and he fled with all the demigods and Samvartaka clouds. And just like when an elephant is wounded by a lion, elephant will just run away. Like that Indra just ran away. Right? Out of fear that Krishna would punish him. 25th verse. Khamvyabhram uditadityam vatavarsham chadarunam nishamyoparatam gopan govardhanadharo bravit.
Seeing that the fierce winds and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds and the sun had risen, Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the cowherd community as follows.
So with a burst of entu, Sukadeva Goswami, actually when he is uttering this verse, 25th verse, Sukadeva Goswami was having the vision of Krishna lifting Govardhan, having the vision of Govardhan Dhari Krishna. That's why in this verse he said, Govardhan Dharo Bhavit. Right? Kham Vyabhram Uditadityam. So, Kham Vyabhram. Kham means the sky, vi abhram means it has become empty of clouds. So clouds disappeared in the sky. Then udita adityam, sun has risen. So far there is no trace of sunlight, so sun has risen. Vata varsham, so the wind and rain, cha darunam, which are fierce, nishamya uparatam, so they have ceased. Right, varsham also ceased. Then Gopan, the cowherd boys, Govardhana Dharaha Abravit. So all the Gopas spoke to Govardhan Dhari. Okay. So the streams, all the streams that were flowing, they became very small and they contained only little water. Like that. Niryatatya jatatrasam. Gopan sastri dhanarbhakah. Uparatam vata varsham vyudaprayascha nimnagaha.
But Krishna said, my dear cowherd men, please go out with your wives, children and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped and the rivers, high waters have subsided.
Okay. Actually some gopas told Krishna, so Krishna, you first go out. We will come after you. So while you are going out, we will hold the Govardhan. Okay? First you should go out. Rain stop. Then Krishna, he released a little weight. He kept some half of the weight on the sticks of Gopas. And on the talkative Gopas, who proposed that Krishna should go out first. And then all the Gopas fell down. Right? So while holding Govardhan, so Krishna lifted all the gopas with his other hand and then sent them away. And then he placed the Govardhan intact in the same place where he lifted it from. And then he came out like that. So all the river waters also have subsided, because the heat of Krishna's power has made the showering waters shrink. Otherwise, this universal devastation clouds, samvartaka clouds, would have inundated everything. So, tadaste nirayur gopaha svam svam adaya godhanam sakato sakatodhopakaranam sthavirashanaihi.
After collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia into their wagons, the cowherd men went out. The women, children and elderly persons gradually followed them.
Okay, everyone just went out. Bhagavanapitam shailam swasthane purvavat prabhuhu pashyatam sarvabhutanam sthapayam asalilaya.
While all living creatures looked on, the Supreme Personality of Godhead put down the hill in its original place, just as it had stood before.
So, and Krishna did this with great ease. It was not difficult for him to place it back. Sometimes in excitement you lift something and then you can't bend and then you can't keep it. So it was not the case with Krishna. He did it with very great ease. Tam prema vegan nirbhrita vrajaukaso yatha samiyuh parirambhanadibhi gopyascha sasneham apujayan muda dadhyakshatadbhir yayujuh sadashisa.
All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love and they came forward and greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationship with him, some embracing him, others bowing down to him and so forth. The cowherd women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor and they showered auspicious benedictions upon him.
So when somebody is in excitement or great happiness, the way he speaks is very exciting, it looks like singing, something like that. So Sukadeva Goswami is excited here. Okay? As if singing out of prema, Sukadeva Goswami described the joyful meeting between Vrajavasis and Krishna after he left the Govardhan back. Tam prema vegan. This prema vegan is not just Vrajavasis prema vegan, it's Sukadeva Goswami's prema vegan also. That he was so excited while saying this. Tam prema vegan nirbhuta vrajaukaso. So all the Vrajavasis, they with prema vegan, with the force of their pure love, right, nirbhrita, fulfilled, right, Vrajavakasa, all the Vrajavasis, yatha samiyuhu parirambhanadibhi. So they reciprocated with Krishna, yatha, according to his position, according to their relationship with him. Even in when Krishna is entering Dwaraka in the 10th chapter of first canto, 11th chapter of first canto, Krishna reciprocated with them yatha vidhi. Okay, yatha vidhi means just as it behooves. With elders, you have to offer obeisances. With equals, you have to embrace. Okay, with reciprocating with juniors, you may have to accept obeisances. Right? With mothers, there is one kind of reciprocation. With fathers, there is one kind of reciprocation. Right? With wives, another kind of reciprocation. So Krishna reciprocates when he is entering Dwaraka. Krishna reciprocates with everyone just as it behooves. Same thing happened here also. Yatha samiyuhu parirambhanadibhi. So he reciprocated with everyone and everyone dealt with him and appreciated him in various ways according to their rasa. Some people started offering obeisances to Krishna. Some people started embracing Krishna. Some people kissed Krishna. Some people just took his left hand and started massaging it, massaging the hand. Array, this is the hand which lifted as if he was mountain. Let's massage. Some people took his fingers and then did this, you know, cracking like this, just to comfort his left hand. So they were doing all this according to their individual relationships and age, right? So the details of interaction with mothers, etc., are given here, right? And Balramji also, as an elder brother, he is also in Vatsalya Rasa, right? That is mentioned in the 30th verse. So now Chakravartipad says that each of the residents of Vrindavan regarded Krishna in his own way, as an inferior, younger member of the community, as an equal, superior, or they dealt with him accordingly. Then 30th verse. Yashoda Rohini Nando Ramascha Parinam Varaha Krishnam Alingya Yujur Ashisha Sneha Katara.
Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nand Maharaj and Balram, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings.
So, Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda, Rama, Balram also, being the elder brother of Krishna, he can also show affection in Vatsalya mood towards Krishna. That's what has happened. Ramascha Balinam Varaha, Krishnam Alingya Yujur, Ashishah, Sneha Kataraha. So, with Sneha, with great affection, so they are bestowing blessings upon Krishna, benedictions upon Krishna. May you live long, may your health be all right, may you always be happy. So this kind of asisha, benedictions are given by elders to youngers generally. Now, one important question. Balramji is right there in the scene, right? Since beginning till end. And Balramji, his expansion is Sesha. And as Sesha, he holds the entire Bhumandal, right? So why did he allow his younger brother to do this, right? If he himself was personally present, that is the question. Answer is, Krishna has made a decision to lift Govardhan. Krishna has made a decision to stop Indra Puja. Krishna has made a decision to personally protect Vrajavasis. When the source of incarnations, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, when the origin of incarnations, the source of incarnations, the Swayam Bhagavan has taken some decision, his expansion will take a low profile and follow the decision. His expansion has no authority to intrude into the decision or will of Krishna, right? It would be improper and impossible for his Amsha to interfere when Krishna personally has made a decision, right? That's how Chakravartipada explains. And also, in an expansion of Krishna, in an Amsha of Krishna, powers will manifest only by Lord's will. So here, Krishna's will is that I want to lift. I will personally lift. Okay, I will personally crush Indra's pride. So Balramji said, okay, fine. I may have the capacity to do so. I may have the track record of doing it earlier also. But now you want to do. Okay, I will just keep quiet. So this is very important. For example, your department head is wanting to do something which is very trivial, which anyone can do. You should allow him to do something like that. So Balramji did not interfere, although he had the capacity to do things. 31. And Chakravartipad says that all these devotees, Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda, Rama, they were overwhelmed with affection and they were excited and they were confused also a little bit, right? And they offered him blessings. Now, not just the affectionate relatives of Krishna and the entire Vrajavasi community only is celebrating this event. Even demigods are also overjoyed seeing this nice episode that is described in 31st verse.
Divideva gana siddhah sadhya gandharva charanah Tushtuvarmumuchur tushtaha Pushpavarshani parthiva.
In the heavens, O King, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction.
Now, question. the king of all the demigods, Indra is thoroughly embarrassed, right? He suffered broken pride. How can demigods celebrate? How can they be joyful? The answer is, seeing the sweet pastime of Krishna, they became very joyful. Okay? And seeing the destruction of their boss, Indra, destruction of the pride of Indra, they became joyful. Right? No more questions on this. So they have sufficient reason to be joyful. So Govardhan, generally, there is a king and there is some minister or governor. Okay, there are some other subordinates, lower people. But when the governor is acting inimical, acting in difference with the king, this lower subordinates, although they cannot suggest to the governor, but when the king is chastising the governor, they will feel happy. Right, that's what is happening. So Indra was not angry. Although his pride is destroyed, Indra was not angry now. He was embarrassed. He was feeling guilty. Right. So that is one of the good parts, okay, of Indra's personality. Although he's chastised, sometimes when someone chastises, he becomes angry. Right? Although mistake is on his part. How can you chastise me? But still, Indra was not very angry. And Krishna, ultimately Krishna did not want to humiliate Indra like that. He humiliated Indra just to crush his false pride, but not to minimize his position in front of everyone. That was not his main intent. So that is very much revealed in which chapter? 27 chapter beginning. If you see, Krishna, after this whole episode is over, one day Krishna just was strolling around Govardhan and trying to see, is there any damage that happened to Govardhan because of Indra's thunderbolts and storms. He was going there. And apparently with that reason he went there. There Indra came. Because Krishna knows Indra would come along with Surabhi to beg forgiveness. And Krishna wanted to give a private audience to Indra. Let Indra be humiliated or embarrassed, that then, say sorry or forgive me, all that, in front of Surabhi only, not in front of entire universe. Okay, I will give him a private audience. Okay, so that he will feel comfortable and feel inspired to continue the service. Right? Sometimes when somebody does some mistake, right, if we chastise him in front of everyone, he will lose the inspiration to continue the service only. So sometimes the chastisement or corrective measure should be given confidentially in front of, 2-3 confidential people only, not in front of everyone. So Krishna gave that private audience to Indra and did not embarrass him thoroughly. He gave that private audience to Brahmaji also. 32nd verse. The demigods in the heaven were as jubilant as the residents of Vrindavan. And thus the great universal festival took place. So Govardhan Puja, or this Govardhan, lifting Govardhan mountain, is a universal festival, not Vrindavan festival only. 32nd.
Shankadundubhayo Nedur Divideva Prachoditah Jagurgandharva Pataya Tumburu Pramukhandrupa.
My dear Parikshit, the demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conchs and kettledrums, and the best of the Gandharvas, led by Tumburu, began to sing.
Tato anuraktaihi pashupaihi parishrito Rajansvagoshtam sabalovrajadhari Tathavidanyasya kritani gopikam Gayanta iyur mudita hridisprishah.
Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts.
Tato anuraktaihi. Anuraktaihi, pashupaihi, parishrutaha. So all the loving pashupaihi, the cowherd boys,
right? They surrendered along with Balaramji. So they went to Krishna's place, right? And all the Vrindavan community also went to Krishna's place only. They were feeling so attracted. Hey, picnic ended, 7 days finished, like a ghatika. And now we have to go to our homes back. So they were thinking like that. So in that ecstasy, they went to Krishna's home only. The entire Vrajavasi went to Krishna's home. They did not go to their respective homes. Later they were dispatched and then they went to their respective homes. But initially they went to Krishna's home. Right? Rajan Svagoshtam Sabalo Vrajat Dharihi. So Harihi. Here Krishna is addressed as Hari because he took away Indra's pride. So here, 33rd verse also, out of great joy, as if singing, Sukadeva Goswami described the Vrajavasi's entrance into Vraja. He was excited here also. Three times he gets excited, Sukadeva Goswami, in this, according to Jiva Goswami. So then, Tatha Vidhani Asya Kritani Gopika Gayanta Iyur Mudita Hridis Prishaha. So Krishna performed this wonderful activity of lifting Govardhan Hill, and all the gopis, so they became so attracted and enchanted by this Leela, and they started singing. All these songs they have composed on their own, right? They have the ability to make songs spontaneously, right? They started making songs and then started singing now. So finally they got opportunity to exchange their loving glances for such a long time. So this such a long time they were never given, right? Once in a while, when Krishna is going to the forest or coming back from the forest, they will see. That's all is the audience of young gopis. But here, for 7 days and seven nights, they were exchanging unnoticed and secret glances. And just like a young boy would do something, some hirogiri, something like that, right in front of young girls to attract their attention. How is this present in the young boys of this material world? It is there in Krishna. So Krishna also did such heroic activity in front of all the gopis and then attracted them, right? So the gopis were the most beautiful and pure-hearted young girls, and Sri Krishna performed the most wonderful activities in their presence. Thus he entered deep within their tender hearts, enlivening their eternal devotion to him. That's why Gayanto Iyur Mudita Hridis Prishaha. Krishna could touch their hearts, Hridis Prishaha, with his activities. So they started singing Gayanta Iyur Mudita with great pleasure. Like that. So that's how 25th chapter ends. We'll begin 26th chapter. Do we have time? Just few verses at least we'll do.
Sri Shuka Uvacha. Evam Vidhani Karmani. Gopah Krishnasya Vikshyate Atadvirya Vidah Prochu Samabhyeta Suvismitaha.
Sukhdev Goswami said, the cowherd men were astonished when they saw Krishna's activities, such as lifting Govardhan Hill. Unable to understand his transcendental potency, they approached Nand Maharaj and spoke as follows.
So this chapter, the theme of this chapter is wonderful Krishna. It is kind of revising all the previous chapters. So all the gopas would come to Nanda Maharaj and say, your son is so wonderful. He killed Putana, he killed Shakatasur, he killed Bakasur, Vatsasur. They enumerate all the pastimes that Krishna had done. And in response to these gopas words, Nanda Maharaj repeats the verses that Gargamuni spoke in 8th chapter in the naming ceremony. Krishna is predicted to have Narayana Samogunaihi, and he will protect everyone from all the calamities. He is empowered by Narayana. So those verses he repeats. That is a very small, simple chapter. Now, after lifting this Govardhan, so Krishna went back and all the Vrajavasis went back to their homes. And while Krishna was lifting for 7 days, all the gopas, all the Vrindavan Vasis, they simply enjoyed spiritual bliss without analyzing Lord's activities. Lord is doing some activity, they were attracted to that activity, they were just enjoying. They didn't analyze. For example, a rasmalai is given to you, you just eat it and enjoy it. You don't analyze how is it made, how much sugar, okay? That who made this, Pitambar Prabhu or Anupam or so they didn't analyze anything. So they did not have the opportunity to think about Krishna's power. That the opportunity to think of Krishna's power did not arise in their minds because they were so absorbed in Ananda. So after going back, they started thinking, "Are, what just happened? Last 7 days, where were we? We were under Govardhan. And Krishna lifted that Govardhan. 7 days passed like one ghatika." So they just came back to senses, or like maybe they reduced the ecstasy thing, and then they started analyzing the event. Then they were surprised. So, but all these presumptions are false, because an ordinary 7 year old, so they were Vivada. This chapter is titled as Gopa Vivada, something like that, in Harivamsha or Gopal Champu, somewhere. Okay. So this is a discussion, argumentation amongst the Gopas about Krishna's glory. So they were thinking, now we have directly seen Krishna lifting Govardhan hill, and we remember how he killed Putana and other demons. At that time, we thought that these extraordinary activities occurred because of a benediction from the Brahmanas, or because of Nandamara's great fortune, or that perhaps this boy had achieved the mercy of Narayana and was empowered. But all these presumptions are false, because an ordinary 7-year-old boy can never hold a mountain for 7 days continuously. It's beyond logic. So far, the right brain thinking started left brain thinking. In right brain thinking, you are just caught up in emotion only. So they were caught up completely in spiritual emotions, right? They did not start analyzing. Right now they started analyzing. But on the other hand, we see that now if we consider this activity, extraordinary activity, and attribute some divinity to his personality, what to speak of, then what about Krishna's dealings with us, right? He is like any other child. Krishna becomes happy when we cuddle him. He becomes morose when we don't reciprocate with him. Okay, we are his uncles or well-wishers, simply worldly cowherd men. If you don't give him attention, he will feel unhappy, right? So how is this possible? On one hand, he seems like an ordinary cowherd boy only, like our children. On the other hand, he is showing extraordinary pastimes. We are unable to understand this. So when you are in confusion, you should go to authority. Right? All the Gopas were in confusion now. They went to Nanda Gopa, right? So Nanda Gopa, who is the king of the cowherd community, and they asked, okay? "We are totally unable to establish the truth of Krishna's identity. Therefore, let us go to Nanda Maharaj, okay, and clear our doubts." So they went to Nanda Maharaj.
Balakasya yadetani karmanyatyadbhutani vai katham arhatyasau janma gramyeshvatma jugupsitam.
The cowherd man said, "Since this boy performs such extraordinary activities, how could he warrant a birth among worldly men like us, a birth that for him would seem..."
So, balakasya yadetani karmanyatyadbhutani vai. This, he is just a boy, balaka. But karmani, if you consider his activities, they were very adbhutani. They were very wonderful. Katham arhati asau janma gramyeshu atma jugupsitam. So our question, our cause of wonder is, how did he take birth in a cowherd boy family, cowherd community? So that we are bewildered about it. Okay. At this point, Krishna actually went to the forest to herd the cows. Because in Krishna's presence, they cannot ask this kind of analytical questions about his personality. When Krishna is in front of them, they forget all analysis, and then they love him only. Right? So Krishna is absent. Okay. So this extraordinary activities. So he can't be an ordinary boy. He must be God. Right? So how is he born in a cowherd family and became object of criticism? Right? Such an extraordinary person, if he's God, how could he take birth in a cowherd family? So that's a kind of criticism only. Even minor avatars like, you know, they are not born in low families. How can such an outstanding avatar, or the source of avatars, so how can he take birth in, you know, a cowherd family? That was their question. An ordinary living being cannot avoid unpleasant circumstances, but the Supreme Controller can always make perfect arrangements for his pleasure. That's what they say. Yah saptahayano balaha. करेणैकेन लीलया कथं बिभ्रद्गिरिवरं पुष्करं गजराट इव.
How could this 7-year-old boy playfully hold up the great hill Govardhan with one hand, just as a mighty elephant holds up a lotus flower?
तोकेन मीलिताक्षेण Bhutanaya Mahaujasaha Pitastana Sahapranaihi Kaleneva Vayahtanoha.
As a mere infant who had hardly yet opened his eyes, he drank the breast milk of the powerful demoness Putna and then sucked out her very life air as well, just as the force of time sucks out the youth of one's body.
Tokena amilitakshena. Amilitakshena means eyes that are half closed or almost closed. Right? So it's done unseen by others or unnoticed. Okay. So he killed Putana as a boy who has not yet completely opened his eyes also. Right? Just a 10-year-old baby, 10-day-old baby. So the word vayaha is significant. With irresistible power, time takes away our life, and that time is actually Krishna himself. Krishna accelerated the time process and within an instant withdrew the duration of our life. Right? How could an infant manifest this kind of power? So this is like first cause of wonder. And second, Hinvatodha Shayanasya Masyasya Charana Udak Anopatad viparyastam rutata prapadhahatam.
Once, when only 3 months old, little Krishna was crying and kicking up his feet as he lay beneath a huge cart. Then the cart fell and turned upside down simply because it was struck by the tip of his toe.
So second is Sakatasur. Okay, first is Putana, second Sakatasur. Ekahayana asino hiryamano vaya vihayasa daityena yastrinavartam ahankantha graharturam.
At the age of one, while sitting peacefully, he was taken up into the sky by the demon Trinavarta. But baby Krishna grabbed the demon's neck, causing him great pain, and thus killed him.
So Krishna did not fight or even feel the least fatigue while killing any of these people. Right? Fourth, he was just drinking milk. Fifth verse, he was just kicking his foot upwards. Then sixth, he was just in the hands of Trinavarta, in the neck, hanging in the neck of Trinavarta. He didn't exert himself at all. So way of enhancing our love for Krishna is to repeatedly discuss about Krishna. That Vrajavasis are exemplifying. Just like all the gopis would go in front of Yashodamai and then enumerate all the naughty stealing activities that Krishna does, steya yogaihi, inventing different methods of stealing, they would enumerate. So all the gopas, they were going in front of Nanda Maharaj and then enumerating all the demon killing pastimes of Krishna. So that repetition is very much there. The cowherd men who loved Krishna as an ordinary child were astonished by all these activities. A newborn infant cannot ordinarily kill a powerful witch. Okay. Cowherd men were enhancing their love for him by remembering and discussing his activities. So how can the love be enhanced? by repeatedly discussing the activities of the beloved. So that's what Gopas are doing.
Kvachiddhayangavastainye matrabandha udukhale gachan arjunayor madhye babhubhyam tav apatayat.
Once his mother tied him with ropes to a mortar because she had caught him stealing butter. Then crawling on his hands, he dragged the mortar between a pair of Arjuna trees and pulled them down.
This is Damodar Leela. Vane sancharayan vatsan saramo balakai vrata hantukamam bakam dorbhyam mukhatorim apatayat.
Another time, when Krishna was tending the cows in the forest, together with Balram and the cowherd boys, the demon Bakasura came with the intention of killing Krishna. But Krishna seized this inimical demon by the mouth and tore him apart.
This is killing of Bakasura. Vatseshu vatsarupenam pravishantam jighamsayam hatvanyapatayattena kapithani chalilaya.
Desiring to kill Krishna, the demon Vatsa disguised himself as a calf and entered among Krishna's calves. But Krishna killed the demon and, using his body, enjoyed the sport of knocking kapita fruits down from the trees.
Vatsasur. Hatvara sabhadaitreyam yadbandhum chabalanvitaha chakretalavanam kshemam paripakva phalanvitam.
Together with Lord Balram, Krishna killed the jackass demon and all his friends, thereby securing the safety of the Talwan forest, which abounded with fully ripened palm fruits.
So actually Balramji killed whom? Dhenukasur. But here says, together with Lord Balram, Krishna killed the jackass demon. Right? This is only to give prominence to Krishna's activities. So although Krishna, Balramji does some activities, sometimes the credit goes to Krishna. Right? Not only here. When Krishna went to Mathura, in the wrestling arena, all the people who are sitting in the balcony to watch the show of wrestling, so they discussed about Krishna's activities, various activities of Krishna. So some demons that Balramji killed, they said Krishna killed. So actually Acharyas give some purport there, Chakravartipad gives, that actually Balramji killed such and such demon, but it is said that Krishna killed here by these Mathuravasis, because this happened in Vrindavan. When the news came to Mathura through the medium of so many people discussing, the news got little distorted and then entered like this. Right? And that happens in modern newspapers also. That's how they conclude. Right? So that is one reason, because the original news may get sometimes distorted in discussions amongst people, and sometimes the hero is given more prominence than the second hero or side hero, like that. When we do service also, the authority may take more credit, although the hard work is done by the ground level person. So Balramji has no problem with this, right? Krishna is getting more credit, he was ecstatic, right? So one, through Balramji's activities of allowing Krishna to lift Govardhan, okay, of allowing Vrajavasi Vrindavan community to glorify Krishna for what he has done, so we can understand that one should be in servant mood, right? Not desiring for credit or anything like that. Balramji definitely must be aware of this. Then, long ago, okay, Hiranyaksha. Pralambam ghatayitvogram
బలేన బలశాలిన అమోచయత్ వ్రజ పశూన్ గోపాంశ్చారణ వహ్నితః.
After arranging for the mighty Lord Balaram to kill the terrible demon Pralamba, Krishna saved Vraja's cowherd boys and the animals from a forest fire.
So, after arranging for Balaramji to kill demon Pralamba, here also, although they mention the fact that Balaramji killed Pralamba, the main topic of discussion here is Krishna. So, they present this fact also through Krishna only. Krishna arranged for Balaram to kill. They give more credit to Krishna, right? So servant means he is sold out to his master, right? Whatever he does, that credit and the benefit and the glory or everything should go to the master. So although Balaramji killed Pralamba, it is done, it is inspired by Krishna only.
Asi vishata madhindram damitva vimadam hridayat ప్రహస్యోద్వాస్య యమునాం చక్రేసౌ నిర్విశోదకాం.
Krishna chastised the most poisonous serpent Kalia, and after humbling him, he drove him forcibly from the lake of the Yamuna. In this way, the Lord made the water of that river free of the snake's powerful poison.
This is Kalia Daman. Okay. So this Kaliya Daman also gave sufficient evidence to prove that Krishna is God. So they were trying to connect all the pastimes that Krishna has done, demon killing pastimes, and then trying to make a conclusion that, oh, is Krishna God? Like that. Then next, they say, now 13th verse they kind of conclude, right? They ask the question. But they skipped one Leela, Brahma Vimohan Leela. Because except Balaramji, no one knows Brahma Vimohan Leela. Krishna Balaram knows, but Gopas were not aware. That 1 year, why our affection increased, so they were not aware. Aghasura also they skipped. Yeah, Aghasura also they cannot. They can. After 1 year, they came to know, but they skipped here. They told, but that somehow doesn't come here.
దుశ్చజశ్చానురాగోస్మిన్ సర్వేషాం నో వ్రజౌకసాం నందతే తనయేస్మాసు తస్యాప్యౌత్పత్తికః కథం.
Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Vraja cannot give up our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us?
So this is very important verse in this chapter. So gopas go dustyajata dustyajatas chanuragosmin. For an ordinary conditioned soul, health or the family, friends, sons, wife, wealth, everything is dustyaja. It's very difficult to give up all this. But for Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Vrajavasis especially, dustyajascha anuragosmin. It is very difficult, impossible to give up affection for him. Right? Sarvesham no vrajaukasam. It is the case with all Vrajavasis. Right? Nandate tanaye smaro tasyapi autpattikah katham. How has it become so natural for us to have the affection for him? And how has it become so impossible for us to give up affection for him? Although he is manifesting so many leelas as God, right? Proving that he is God. So why is it? That is their question. So this purport we'll go through in detail. So the very word Krishna means all attractive one. That's why giving up attraction from him for him is dustyaja. It's very difficult. The residents of Vrindavan could not give up their constant love, anuraga, for Lord. Their attitude towards him was not particularly theistic, because they were unsure whether he was God or not. So theist means he is attached to God, he is attracted to God, or he worships God. But here these people are attached to Krishna, and it's immaterial whether Krishna is God or not for them. So it's they are not theists. They are not atheists anyways. Right? They are devotees of Krishna. They are Vrajavasis. But he attracted all their love precisely because as God, he is the all-attractive person, the supreme object of our love. So the attraction of Vrajavasis towards Krishna is not based on Krishna's designation as God. It is based on Krishna's quality as all-attractive personality. Like that. So it's natural. So Vrajavasis realized it unknowingly. Right? Vrajavasis realized it unknowingly. So far they were coming, is he God or not? But finally they said, forget it. But our attraction is like so much on him. We are unable to give it up. So they also asked, how is it that young Krishna feels such constant love for us? In fact, the Supreme Lord loves all living beings who are eternally his children. Now, there are two aspects to this purport. One is Vrajavasis are attracted to Krishna. They have so much affection for Krishna. Second, Krishna has so much affection for Vrajavasis. That is another aspect. So both are eternal truths. Krishna loves every living entity. Every living entity loves Krishna by default, in the natural constitutional position, in the natural condition of any living entity, there is unlimited love between Krishna and the soul, soul and the super soul. That is a fact. So Vrajavasis are in the natural constitutional position. With little analysis, they could come to this level of identifying it or realizing it. Right? Again, we refer to that discussion after Brahma Vimohan Leela. Right? So wealth is so dear to a person because it is connected to the body. Body is so dear to a person because it is connected to the soul. Soul is so dear to a person because it is a part and parcel of Krishna. So ultimately the dearness of any living entity is primarily towards Krishna. That dearness towards Krishna is manifested in his own soul, body, possessions and everything. That is diverted dearness. But actual dearness is Krishna. Towards Krishna. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna dramatically declares his affection for Arjuna and urges Arjuna to reciprocate that love by surrendering to him. Mahaprabhu says, my Lord, you are so merciful toward me, but I am so unfortunate that love for you has not awakened within me. So now the purport explained about Vrajavasis' attraction towards Krishna and Krishna's love for Vrajavasis. Third, the conditioned soul. The person who doesn't have that love for Krishna, what should he do? He should pray for that attraction like this, like Mahaprabhu. Yetadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mama abhi durdaivam idrisham. So a conditioned soul cannot have that attraction for Krishna. So our misfortune is that we cannot reciprocate the anuraga or loving affection that the Lord feels for us. So from Krishna's side, whether it is towards Vrajavasi or towards a conditioned living entity, from his side, his reciprocation is proper, right? But from our side, our reciprocation or our approach towards him is not proper. Whether we love him or not, Krishna loves us, right? Whether the living entity performs such abominable activities and takes birth as a worm in stool also, Krishna would accompany that soul in his heart, right in his heart, as super soul. Right? In a tree body also he will accompany. In a hog body also he will accompany. Right? He will not say, I will not enter a hog body or a worm body. I will enter only human body or a demigod body. He doesn't say that. So he is equally disposed to all living entities. So the basic reciprocation that any living entity has to receive from God, that will happen. Default, that is there. But extra reciprocation depends on one's approach towards God. So, ethamam prapadyante, that is there. But by default, right, he is the super soul of every living entity. So, he directs every living entity. So, although we are infinitesimal and insignificant and the Lord is infinitely attractive, somehow we do not give him our love. We must accept responsibility for this foolish decision, since to surrender to God or not is the essential expression of our free will. So Krishna doesn't want forced love. He wants to engage our minute independence or minute free will that the living entity has in loving Krishna. When that love for Krishna comes out of the living entity's free will, then Krishna is happy to receive it. He doesn't want to force, although he has the ability to force. Right? It's our responsibility. Very brilliant purport. Right? Very nice. The entire philosophy is nicely summarized in this. So, the Krishna consciousness movement provides an efficient, systematic program to help conditioned souls revive their original, blissful consciousness, which is love of God, Krishna consciousness. The intricacies of Krishna consciousness are so wonderful that even Krishna's eternal associates, the residents of Vrindavan, are astonished by them. So, these last 12 verses, 13 verses, are just the astonishment of all Vrajavasis. He is manifesting his powers as God. But the fact is that he is reciprocating with us so intimately and lovingly, and we are unable to give up our love for him. What is happening? It's very astonishing. Okay, and he is your son, not our son. So, in spite of all that, the attraction is like so powerful, and they are realizing it. They are unable to come out of it. So, that is the... So, accessing that requires the softening of heart, softening of the hard heart of conditioned soul, which turned away from Krishna. Right?
Kvasaptahayano balaha kvamahadrividharanam tatonojayate shankam vrajanathattavatmaje.
On the one hand, this boy is only 7 years old, and on the other hand, we see that he has lifted the great hill Govardhan. Therefore, O king of Vraja, a doubt about your son arises within us.
Okay. So this is a repetition in astonishment. Now, it's already 12:29. So, Nanda Maharaj's response, we will do it in the next class. Or we can do it now also, in the next 15-20 minutes. Okay, we'll do it later. We started early. We should end early also. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. First question, 5 marks. Second question, 5 marks. 25th chapter. Yes, bro. I gave no? Yesterday's questions, 24th chapter. Sorry, I'll repeat that, bro. 24th chapter, first question 10 marks, second question 20 marks, third and fourth questions 10 marks each. 10, 20, 10, 10. Then 25th chapter, first question 5 marks, second question 5 marks, third question 5 marks. Fourth question 5 marks. Fifth question 10 marks. Okay. Sixth and seventh question 10 marks each. The 26th chapter exam we'll have after together with the next chapter. So Monday project, Tuesday next chapter.